about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Dude, remember that time I was wasted and we found that secret island?
That never happened.
Damn.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Smoke weed.
Now it's time to get super duper high.
You are high as a kite.
We are not very functional when we're high, which is all the time.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving, inattentive, dull, constantly snacking, shows a lack of motivation.
What did you do?
And now,
let's get out our solid gold bongs and smoke some of that kind butt for ourselves. And let's not be cool and share it with other people.
Our feature presentation.
That's our policy as well. Morning, everybody.
We actually do Bogart that joint, actually.
That's right. It's an all-new Kevin Abicho. It's a Wednesday morning.
All right. I have a question for you here on the 20th of April. And that is, when you overdo it, Kevin, you in particular, when you overdo it, when you go out, and it doesn't happen very often, a couple times a year you go out and you're with Dave or somebody and you just get blottoed.
Right.
You just drink till it's coming out of your pores.
Now, this conversation has nothing to do with Coachella.
Absolutely
not. This past weekend. Okay.
I'm not suggesting any particular. I'm just saying in general.
All right.
When you come in and alcohol has thrown you onto the ground and kicked you in the head.
Yes.
Until your insides are coming out. What do you say when you walk in the next day? What do you always say when you walk in after a day or a night or a weekend like that?
It's always the same. And it is, I have to stop drinking.
I have to stop drinking. Yeah. Right. I'm never drinking again. Right. I have to stop drinking. I can't do that anymore. It's a variation of
that.
But
never again means for at least a week.
I guess the reason I bring that up is I was trying to anticipate if today you're planning on giving up hockey.
Oh, how dare you?
Because
it was an early night. I left after one period and we were up 4-0. It was crazy. Crazy good.
You just took the win and went home and just enjoyed it, just savored it?
It was sweet. I was in bed early.
I was thinking about you last night as I was following the progress of the game, and I thought Kevin is going to be A, suicidal, and B, he's going to vow to never watch hockey again.
Oh. It was so painful. How many times is your team up 4-0 in hockey? And then you lose.
But almost never?
But the problem is that 4-0 really early is scary.
Yes.
I mean, at the time I was saying, oh, come on now.
You'd rather be up 2-0.
Yes, because
in some ways, because 4-0 allows you to relax and go, we got this.
There are, and against a team like the Sharks, which is a good team, unfortunately. They start coming back, and you go, oh, 4-1. Oh, no, 4-2. Oh, it's 4-3. This is going to happen, isn't it? No.
And there is such thing as momentum in all sports.
Oh, yeah. And then it goes into overtime, and then they won. And that was a good game by them. Congratulations to all the fans.
It was a great hockey game. You know it was a great hockey game. You weren't pleased with the outcome, but in terms of just action and excitement and a thrill till the end, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not interested in either team.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But, and it was an especially great hockey game if you're a Sharks fan.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for the first period where you think, oh, this is going to be a rout. I can't believe it. And then all of a sudden you start coming back, and then then you get happier, and then I get sadder. That's the way it works.
right, exactly.
With every goal, you're so much happier, and then I'm ready to hang from the rafters. So,
I mean, the Kings, look, nobody picked them to beat the Sharks in this series going in. The Sharks, on paper at least, and even looking back at this season, are a better team. You would agree with that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Sharks have won both of their games in overtime has to give you a good feeling to know that the Kings can certainly take it.
Yeah, of course.
They certainly can win.
But you don't have a 4-0 lead very often.
No, you don't.
And
especially in the playoffs. Yeah,
and 4-0 in hockey is almost, I mean, there is no guarantee, but it's almost a guarantee. You could almost just say, we could just play defense, and that's part of the mindset that screws you, because then, You take one penalty, and then they're on a power play, and then they score, and you go, all right, 4-1. Not nearly as good as 4-0. Right. And then it went into overtime.
Now, I know your boy Johnny Quick has been, you know, lights out this season.
No one calls him Johnny, but okay.
I know, but he's been hotter than ever lately.
Yeah.
But they didn't pull him last night.
I don't think he deserved it. I think that was the defense fault.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Because, the Sharks, they would come forward and they would have 2-on-1 or something like that. And in hockey, what they try to do is get the goalie moving back and forth. So they have one guy come all the way up the side, and then they pass it across the ice. And that guy's got an open net. And if there's no defender on him, there's really nothing the goalie can do.
Right.
So, I mean, he should have stopped maybe 2 out of 5, 6. How many were there? 6?
I think it was 6-5 when all was said and done.
6-5. Right. The defense played for the first 20 minutes, and that was great to see. It was
and then
fantastic.
They took the rest of the night off?
Then they said, you know what? We played a first period of defense. We kicked ass. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to coast. And you do that against a good team, and you end up coasting right to a loss.
Did you stay till the very end?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't leave when it's an overtime.
That was sad walking out of there, right?
Oh, it was a bummer. I was just walking out. My daughters were with me. I was like, don't talk to me.
Well, I'm glad we had a few hours between the end of the game and the start of the show. Otherwise, you'd be hell to deal with today.
Damn you, Sharks!
Is that the chant? Is that that's what's going on?
That's the new
one. All right, let me cheer you up. I've got a new little song to play for you here before we get into talking about today's all-new Kevin Bean Show, because it's a holiday, let's face it. I mean, you may be bummed out about last night, but at least today's a holiday, right? At least it's 420, and I think you'll enjoy this.
I have a medical marijuana prescription, personally. I went in, and they said, what do you need it for? And I said, I have a very specific ailment. It's called, I ain't got no weed on me right now.
Everyone knows marijuana's dangerous, and medical pot is really strong. That's why it's so hard in California to get your weed card unless something's really wrong. A visit to my doctor. It's a long shot, but I gotta try. He hands me a list of all the ailments I can have to qualify. Can't believe what I am reading. This is just what I've been needing. A government supply to get legally high. Weed card, it's what I need. Hardly ever okay, always. But it's not an addiction, 'cause my doctor gave me a prescription.
Sweet. Take it if you know it.
Get your card for having headaches, bad dreams or anxiety, propensity for drugs or alcohol, anorexia or obesity, too fat, too thin, either way you win. Carpal tunnel syndrome, color blindness, stuttering, tooth decay, fatigue, depression, motion sickness, impotence or TMJ. You can smoke to quit cigarettes for asthma or your mother f***ing Tourette's. It's a dream come true, there's nothing I can't do. Weed card, it's what I need. Hardly ever okay, always. But it's not an addiction, 'cause my doctor gave me a prescription.
How about that? Today, if you're out there thinking of reasons to get a weed card, why there's no better day than today, right?
Like our audience is out there, you know, trying to figure that out.
Right, like they weren't first in line.
I wonder if I should get a weed card.
By the way, you can see the video for that very funny new song from a duo that I've been a fan of for a long time called Garfunkel and Oates. Have you seen some of their stuff?
No.
They're very, very funny. And we put that up at kevinandbean.com if you want to check out the rest of the song.
And that's our celebration?
That's it.
That's part of it. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
420.
We have a wee man on the program today. He's coming to the studio from Jackass. And he owns a chain of chronic tacos, which sounds promising, but I'm guessing they don't have weed in it. I don't know.
But that's where you go afterwards, though, when you got the munchies.
Sure. Bob Saget will be in studio.
Love Bob.
Very funny dude. We love him. So he's going to be in studio as well. We have a rare Ralph's movie vault. We don't do this very often, but Ralph does take a look at some movies and play some highlights from them. This particular one we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. It is Nudist Colony of the Dead.
Oh, I can't wait. It's a zombie movie about nudists?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. So ugly old people that are nude and zombies. That seems bad. But we also have Ziggy Marley on the program today as we celebrate 420.
Those are words that have never been said before.
Yeah,
we have Ziggy Marley on the program today.
That's true. Would you like to take that back? We're all ready to go with that one. Sure do have a lot of examples. Sure do have a lot of decisions to make. Brand new Internet Roundup as well. And we've got your Big Four tickets.
Wow.
Which, of course, is this weekend. So that's all coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is the world famous K-Rock, and it is 5:51.
Sorry, guess I got to turn my mic on. Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Coming up, we've got some Weezer for you. Also, Rise Against, MGMT, Social D, and more. Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
We need to put Kevin on a non-hockey schedule.
How dare you?
The week. He's like, I'm going to push button. What's happened going now?
Well, that was my fault on the microphone that time. That was my fault.
Well, then we got to put you in a no hockey program, whatever it is.
You can't not watch hockey in the playoffs, Ralph. You know that. You know better.
But a 4-goal lead is good, right?
Oh.
I'm just saying a 4-goal lead is pretty solid in the playoffs.
What percentage?
4 goals, you think, boom, this one. Put this in the dub column.
Yeah, but when it's so early, you get a little nervous because they have so much time to come back. What percentage of the time would you say a hockey team has a 4-goal lead and loses?
It happens rarely 5%? During the regular season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, almost never. That once you've got 4 goals up, that's a blowout. You are on your way to a victory in the playoffs because usually the defense is so tight in playoffs that the goals are hard to come by.
Yeah. Yeah, that tight defense went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened.
So that.
Yeah, I was watching. I was going, what? No. No. Oh, unbelievable. Kevin's going to be a mess tomorrow.
Stupid Sharks. Got to be so good keeping us down.
You said it, brother. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Yeah, here's the thing. We're speaking of television news. I was torn yesterday by the news that NBC and Versus had renegotiated their deal with the NHL.
Meaning
because
that it would
ESPN
stay on?
Was in the mix. They were vying for television rights to show who would show the NHL
right.
next season. And NBC and Versus won the battle. To which I say, I appreciate their passion for the sport because there's not a lot of that in the United States any longer.
Right.
Hockey used to be one of the big four, and now it's sort of the redheaded stepchild of professional sports. So they do a good job presenting the games, and they obviously care about the games, and they got a good crew who does the color commentary and whatnot. But if ESPN had picked up the games,
yeah.
then maybe they would mention it once in a while in SportsCenter more than they do, let's say, I don't know, professional bull riding, which I see more mentions of on SportsCenter. So I was hoping maybe ESPN picked it up. It would raise the profile of the sport a little bit.
Not to mention if you're traveling, you go to a hotel or whatever, very seldom do they carry the Versus Network.
No, you get the Saturday games on NBC pretty yes. much. That's exclusively when you're traveling.
And that's it, yeah.
So I was torn yesterday it by is, that TV
it,
news.
It is bookended by bullfighting and then bull riding or whatever and then the rodeo, yeah. One before, after, same.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And sometimes there's a fishing show that's thrown in just for good luck.
They do like
that's about it.
They do like to land the big ones on yeah. Versus. I know that. Well, only people like Brooke Mueller and Charlie Sheen could make Denise Richards look like a saint. But interesting news yesterday. I mentioned that Brooke Mueller, Charlie Sheen's soon-to-be ex-wife, had to return to rehab. Because she refused to take a drug test, which is part of the agreement that she and Charlie have regarding custody of their twin boys.
Right.
So she's back in rehab. Charlie's a hot mess, continuing on the road with his Tornado of Truth tour. Denise Richards stepped up and said, look, I will take the kids in. I'll watch the twin boys.
Well, that's good.
I will raise them in my home while you guys sort this out, which I thought was a real class act.
Yeah. No kidding. They're not her kids.
Not her kids. And it is the children of her ex-husband.
Right.
And Charlie, of course, being the right-headed, clear-thinking American that he is, turned her down.
Said no thanks?
Nope. He said, I will just chain them up in a junkyard and put out a bowl of kibble for them. I don't know what he's going to do, but he said he'll keep her posted on the proceedings, but he's not taking her up on her offer.
Doesn't the state, I mean, if this weren't a celebrity situation, wouldn't the state have stepped in and taken the kids away because neither parent is fit?
You'd think. Given his high-profile admissions of drug use and his run-ins with the law as of late, and yeah. then her going into rehab for, I don't know, the third time maybe, you'd think there would be some consideration about who would watch these kids.
I'm an F-18, bro.
He is an F-18.
Bro.
Bro. Demi Lovato made headlines when she checked into treatment last year, and she did an interview with 2020 talking about her severe emotional issues. I feel bad for this kid.
Why? What's wrong? What was
she
wrong
had a, she had a huge career over on Disney with the Sunny with a Chance TV program. But she said that she went through some issues as a child. As early as the age of 10, she began overeating and then binging and purging. Began cutting at the age of 11.
Wow.
She's only 18 years old now. And she said cutting became for her a means of instant gratification when pressure used to build up in her life.
Wow.
You had to go through some real emotional turmoil to find physical pain sort of a release.
Yeah.
You know?
How about pacing yourself?
You remember she got into that fight with her backup dancer on tour, Alex Welch, and that's when she went into a program. But she said she's feeling better and she's got things under control. They talked about maybe she's going back to Sunny with a Chance on Disney. She said that probably wouldn't be a good idea for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she's not going to return to that program. So there's a silver lining to the cloud.
Bean,
no more Sunny with a Chance.
You'll have to take that off your TiVo.
Yeah.
I enjoy the program, as I do all the fine Disney programs.
I like to stay current.
I like to watch Nickelodeon because it lures the young ones in.
No, what I told you was I leave it on Disney a lot because I think it's good, safe programming for the puppies. That's why it's on. That's how I got started watching a lot of those shows.
Another time we are going to have
that discussion. We've had that discussion. We had people calling in talking about what radio or TV they leave on for their pets and why.
Another time, another place.
You need a safe channel for the dogs.
I don't want them to see too much violence or sex.
Well, you don't want a bunch of
explosions. I want to keep them young forever.
You don't want machine gun fire. You don't want something that's going to upset them when you're not around. So you leave it on Disney. It's going to be safe.
Yeah. It's not that Bean likes to lure young kids into his house. If he wanted to do that, you know what he'd do? He'd put like a giant clown head on top of his house or something that would make the kids think it's...
Paint it pink.
Right, it's some sort of fun house or something. That's how he would get him in.
That's true.
You know, we are being ridiculous.
Oh, wait a minute! I also have a card out front that offers free candy cane, too, so...
I bet you do.
Wow.
And this made me happy. Are you familiar with Michaela Salahi?
No.
She and her husband are the famous White House crashers.
Oh, yeah.
And then she went on to be one of the real housewives of Washington, D.C.
I don't watch any of those.
They are desperate for attention, these two.
Oh, okay.
More important for them to be famous than anything else. So much so that you may remember Michaela Salahi went on Celebrity Rehab, got accepted by producers. And then once she got into the program, they said, hey, wait a minute, you're not addicted to anything.
Oh, that's right.
You're going to have to pack your bags because, unfortunately, there's nothing for you to rehab from except your horrible addiction to fame. Well, wow. The good news is Playboy magazine has announced to Michaela that the sexy pictorial that she shot on her own and presented to Playboy, hoping to get to the pages of the magazine, has been rejected.
Thanks, but no thanks.
No thanks.
Anybody with a little fame, usually it ups their chances.
When has Playboy turned down anybody?
Yeah.
No kidding. I love that they didn't come to her and ask her to appear in the magazine. She took photos, sent them to Playboy, and said, please put me in the magazine.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They said, look, we can put you on online. We can put you on like playboy.com if you're still interested.
Women who sent us pictures that we don't want.
Yeah.
They have a feature like that.
They do, yes. Rejects of playboy.com is called. You can check it out.
I was surprised when they rejected her for Celebrity Rehab because didn't you get the impression that it was kind of thin, the premise that Rachel Uchitel was on that show as well? Like, she didn't really ever seem to have much of an addiction to anything except she'd had a tough life.
Well, she was a sex addict.
Was she?
Yeah.
They never called her that on the show.
Love addict, I think.
A love addict.
It. Yeah. But still, she had something.
I think they just had her on because she looks so great in a bikini around the pool out back.
Well, it's possible.
It is
TV. This guy's not an unattractive woman.
No.
She's not?
No.
She's ugly on the inside.
Yeah. And by the way, her husband did some test shots at home for Playgirl magazine.
Is that right?
Trying to get in. And he, too, was also rejected by Playgirl. Because, you know why? He's a big, pale, doughy doofus.
Wow.
And look, I'm not an avid reader of Playgirl, but I know for a fact they like to have pretty handsome cut hunks in that
magazine.
Sure,
makes sense.
So,
boy, these two are made for each other.
They really are. They are a spectacular couple. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Our old buddy George Takei. You know him as Mr. Sulu, of course, from the Star Trek legendary franchise. He was also on Heroes. I think he's got a new series coming on Nickelodeon or Disney or something.
What would he say about his birthday today, Ralph?
I'd like to blow out the candles now. Someone bring me their candle. Oh, really?
remember the song we had from George Takei?
That's right, when he was a country western singer. Remember when he was...
How great is male ass?
Big hit for him on the country charts.
That's right.
George had. That was from that TV show, remember, where they tried to take celebrities and make them country stars?
Yep.
It was a bizarre concept. They took celebrities from other walks of fame and then tried to turn them into country and western
stars. Was it just
stars.
Country or was it all
just
music?
Country.
Just country. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
can't believe that didn't take
that's
off.
That's a thin idea right there.
Actor Gregory Itzen, who played the president on 24, is 63 years old today. Actress Jessica Lange turned 62. Clint Howard, you may not know the name, but you've seen his face in every Ron Howard movie ever made.
He's the ugly brother
of... He's the ugly brother of Ron Howard, who whose sole means of employ these days seems to be his brother's movies, which is, you know, good work if you can get it. He probably makes $4 million a movie for playing the hotel clerk in one scene.
Hey, Ron, you got something coming up?
I need... Daddy needs a house payment. 52 years old today. Crispin Glover's 47. Carmen Electra is 39 years old. Joey Lawrence is 35. And Miranda Kerr celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Once again today on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got you tickets for Big Four, a big show this Saturday coming up with Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, and Megadeth. We also are hooking you up with Soundgarden tickets for their reunion concert. It's going to be at the Forum on, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say July 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10. It's as simple as giving us a call when you hear us play a Soundgarden song on the Kevin and Bean Show, which will happen this morning. All you do is be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to Soundgarden from us.
Apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger is upset now. He's getting a little sad because he used to be the man. You know, he used to be in great shape. He was Mr. Universe, was it? World?
Yes, he
whatever.
Was. I think he was. Mr. Universe.
Then he was the governor. And
Mr. Olympia, maybe, also?
Yeah. Now, he's been traveling a lot. He went to South America with director pal James Cameron, attended a Scorpions concert in Moscow with Mikhail Gorbachev.
Well, think about how much free time he's got now. He's been governor of California for, 6 years or something like that, and now he's got to be... If I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm thinking, what do I do next?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, maybe go back to acting, but...
I've already excelled in bodybuilding. I've already been the biggest action star in the world. I've already been the governor of California. I can't run for president. What am I going to do? What's the fourth act for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, according to Newsweek, he apparently is having a lot of problems looking in the mirror because he's getting old, and he doesn't like that.
Oh, well, it happens to everybody, Arnold. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he says, I feel terrific about where I am in my life when I look back at what I've accomplished, but I feel so crappy when I look at myself in the mirror. Very upset when he's looking in the mirror what he sees now. He doesn't like it.
Well, let's talk to 63-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger and find out how he's dealing with it today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Arnold, what's going on, man?
One.
Oh.
Two.
Arnold, come on, pick it
three.
Up. Usually, pick it up, Arnold.
Forget it. Forget it.
Only three?
Yeah, that's it.
Why? Usually when we call you, you're on like 1,000.
Yeah, that's not hot.
It's not hot.
No.
Arnold, this Newsweek article doesn't say anything about you that isn't true of virtually everybody who gets old. You're in much better shape than almost any 63-year-old in the world.
No, not.
You're
flabby. And flabby and old and wrinkly.
Okay, you're not in bodybuilding shape. But
I hate myself. I should die.
Well, oh, Arnold,
I should be killed by the sword of Crom.
Don't talk like that.
Just put me in a pit of despair and cover me up. Because I'm crap.
You're no, not you're crap. Done. I mean,
you have no idea.
You had a good run of looking good. I mean, you're 63. It's time to look old.
No, it's horrible. I look in my mirror, what used to be like huge, firm pecs.
Right.
Now I look like Gwyneth Paltrow's breast. Saggy and full of unused milk.
Oh, wow. Arnold, look, you have a 36-inch waist, which has to put you in the top, I don't know, top 20% of all American men in terms of how small that waist is.
Oh, it's fat and horrible.
That's not...
I used to have a four waist.
A four.
You
never had a four.
I used to wear four pants.
I don't think that's even possible.
And I have 48-inch thighs. So no. my pants looked like an oval.
But I mean, you're still active, you're still healthy, you still got that famous tan.
Maybe you should work out.
Disgusting old wrinkled skin.
Yeah,
I look like a huge Chopay.
Right, but maybe cutting back on the working out is not what you need. Maybe you need to step it up a little.
Bit. What's the point?
You do three reps, you're not really going to get any good out of it.
Point, I can't generate any more muscle mass.
Yeah,
I look like steel wrapped in like wet burlap or something. It's all hanging off me, the skin and all. The tan skin's all wrinkled.
It probably is hard.
I have to put collagen in my nipples now just to give my pecs a lift.
Oh, this is sad. Now I'm getting sad. Oh, Arnold.
What was that? Are you crying? Is that you crying?
Yes.
Oh, Arnold.
Didn't you ever see the end of Total Recall when there's no oxygen? My eyes bug out of my head.
The governor is in a downward spiral here. I feel like there's something we can do. What can we? How can we help, Arnold?
You know any 20-year-old whores?
We do, actually. Well,
yes, we do.
Okay, all right. That dance. What
I should
call that?
Dance with the Stars, man. Those moves.
It is the world famous K-Rock at 6:23.
As we learned when they picked Psycho Mike for that show, Ralph, you're actually too big a star now to be on Dancing with the Stars.
And so too good
a
dancer, apparently.
Yeah.
Brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup on the way, and it's about to get tiny up in here. Wee Man joins us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, it's
time
for...
Can you put that in the file, please?
Put that in the file.
Yes, thank
you. How dare you?
We can't add it to a current file, though, that we're about to play.
Right now, though, it's time for... Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
By the way, of all the theme songs you've done over the years, Ralph, that's the one that we get the most complaints about, in that it's so awesome people can't stop thinking about it and humming it, and it hits them at inappropriate and unfortunate times, and they can't get it out of their
head. Well, because we all have those moments, either ourselves or the people we know, where they say something like, ooh, if I could just take that back, if I could just get a second chance.
It always cracks me up when people say, who writes your show? And we go, clearly no one.
Yes.
We're just trying our best to be funny. Sometimes... Hindsight is 20. What did they say? Hindsight?
2020.
2020 is good hindsight.
Hindsight is 2020. That's what they say.
Okay. Moment with. Okay. So
you got the 20 out. You said hindsight is 20, and then you pulled up.
I was.
You couldn't fill out the other 20?
At the beginning, I wasn't kidding, but at the end, I was.
What is it? Is it 2030, 2040? I'm not sure.
All right. So would you like to take that back? We have clips of the show of us making jokes, and we give each other a chance to say, yeah, sorry about that. I would like to take that back. Just why not? The first one is Bean. As most are, by the way.
Thank God.
And Ralph is doing the showbiz story about Gwen Stefani and her helping in Japan.
This is nice news. Our buddy Gwen Stefani has donated $1 million to the Save the Children organization. They've set up the Japan Earthquake Tsunami Emergency Fund for the children there. And $1 million of her personal money is being sent to relief
efforts. That's bananas.
In that country.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas.
Put it
you
want to in the
mark,
file.
Mark that for the file,
no,
please.
No, but I'm saying because it's
Gwen. Yeah, we get it. We got it. It was a story about a very, very bad disaster.
Yes. Very serious.
Very serious story. A lot of people killed.
Huge contribution from Gwen, which was great.
Right. The point is, give it $1 million is that's noteworthy. It's crazy.
Right.
It's,
you didn't say fact, noteworthy bananas. Or crazy. You said bananas, and then you spelled it like her song.
Because she sings that in the song. You guys know.
No need for explanation.
And no need to take that one back either.
Are you kidding?
I live by the sword, I die by the sword.
I would like you to die by the sword. Seriously, you're not going to take that one back?
I'm not going to take that one back.
Bean loves cheese. That's the problem. Is that these are his favorite moments.
Like a Frenchman. He loves cheese.
We can look at a song and he'll fist pump and go, that was awesome. And those are his favorite moments. So we can't usually get him to take it back.
Most of them back, by the way. But I take most of them back, but I'm going to stand by that one as being solid.
This is a rare combo where Ralph has a question. Would you like to take that back? And then in the same conversation, I have one.
Oh, we tag up.
Yeah,
sweet.
So we'll play the clip, and it's talking about American Idol and your woman Pia.
Pia, speaking of spackling her face.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying she doesn't wear that much makeup. Right. That's what I was saying.
Well, sure. So that's what I'd say too if Pia, I was trying to pretend she was pretty.
Pia my pants from Patrick Kennedy.
I'm not sure that's it.
Come on, everybody.
Not sure.
Smile on your brother.
File.
Interesting fallout over American Idol. No. Oh, man. I'm going to put that in the file, please. Yeah, that'd be great.
Come on.
Kevin is rarely in the file, but it seemed like he wanted to be in the file with that. Yeah, there's no other explanation for saying.
Fallout Boy. You guys get it? Would you like to take that? That's for you, Ralph.
That was a twofer.
For me? What about you? We have both of us. You were Pia.
Come on, people, now smile on your brother.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. In the category of know your audience.
Look, that is... Would you like to take that back? Yeah, I would.
Good. That was a very popular song in 1969, though, Ralph.
And then I guess for me... Would you like to take that back? Fallout Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, my policy is always take it back.
Good man.
Because I really rarely can
Because all
can
you
stand.
Did really was just throw on the boy at the end of that. A lot of fun, boy. Yeah. It's hardly even a pun.
It's not even a joke.
No.
Yeah. All right. This is Bean, and this might be the most offensive one in a long time.
Wow.
Ralph, again, is doing the showbiz, and he's talking about Mars Needs Moms, which is a giant, colossal failure.
Yeah. Made a little over $5 million this weekend. I mean, it would have to be released, they figure, for the next 408 years in order to make its money back. So I don't think it's going to be in theaters that long.
But maybe it's playing huge on Mars. You ever think about that? Maybe that's where the money's coming from.
File?
Please.
What? I'm saying it's not making a lot on Earth, but come on.
You think we didn't understand what you were saying?
That joke was over our heads?
That joke was too deep for us to get.
Are you M. Night Shyamalan?
You know how sometimes they have to figure in the international territories to deter whether the movie's going to be profitable?
I think we get it. Would you like
to take that back? Being suggesting okay, so the Martian box office was strong for that movie.
There's only one answer to would you like to take that back on that particular one. Even for
all,
you.
First of all, I have a wide range of options. Would you however, like to take that back? However, this time I will choose the one that you prefer, which right. is yes, I will take that.
There you go. There
As I do take right. back most no, of them, by the way. I don't know why you guys don't remember that. All I do. Right.
This one is Ralph. Again, we're talking about his crush on American Idol, Pia.
And on American Idol on Pia, Ralph.
But
I will tell you that she sure knows how to wear an evening gown.
Man.
Doesn't she?
She walked on stage last night. It was like watching a woman walk on a stage for her own concert. She just she comes out. She's stunning, and she's got giant cans, and she's beautiful, and she just walks out and just like, wow.
If that's what you're looking for.
If you're into that kind of thing,
It was a little hard for me to root for the werewolf like I am most weeks on American Idol. And I do love Casey Abrams, but I got to tell you, I did not think he was great last night. I thought your Pia really brought it.
So you don't clap for the wolf, man?
Don't clap for that.
That was awesome. I'm not even going to suggest that goes in the file. That was so awesome. It was perfectly placed. Are you kidding me?
Woo!
Would you like to
take that back? Woo! But me wouldn't put any of these in the file.
Clap for the wolf man.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're not... Woo! Would you
like to take that back? Hell no, baby.
Wow.
Hell no.
In Ralph's defense, that was a great hit in 1974, so he's moving closer to the kids today.
My comedy knows no boundaries when it comes to time.
Right. I see.
I can make jokes from the 1800s all the way up to the future.
This one is Bean, hard to imagine, as he does love this kind of comedy, but Ralph's talking about the top 10 movies and about how Rio made $40 million.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, let you know what people are going to see this weekend, and Rio was the big hit. $40 million it made.
Wow.
Is this the one about that girl that's dancing in the sand? Is that the movie? Or
Dancing in the Sand.
It's an old Duran Duran song. Her name is Rio, and she dances in the sand.
Put it in the file.
Come on. Coachella, is they playing it? Timely?
Oh, my God. Would you like to take
that back? Sure, why not?
You need to take that one back, too.
Right. Why not?
You know, just for the reason of that pathetic, whiny sort of explanation at the end.
Well, I thought it was timely. They had just played that song to 60,000 people the night before. Would you like to take that back? I took it back.
So immediately after that, I came up with one.
Bad weekend for Stephen Moyer from True Blood. He was behind the wheel during the Toyota
pro celebrity race there in Long Beach for the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he crashed his car, rolled the vehicle.
This is the one who's dating Anna Paquin, right?
Yeah. He wasn't injured during the collision, amazingly.
Because she's a fairy. She can protect him. But compared to Rio...
File.
Really?
File.
In the shadow of Rio?
Yes, in the
Come
shadow
on.
Of Rio.
I thought I was safe with any that, joke.
That's a pretty good defense in the shadow of Rio.
I thought I was safe. I couldn't say anything after the Rio.
But this is like, I know that I killed a guy, but he killed two guys. That's what this
yes,
is.
Yes, that is what it is.
Big four tickets for you next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. That's Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax, Don't You Know, this Saturday in Indio. Plus... you're minutes away, potentially, from Soundgarden. Tickets, too, at the Forum. Anytime you hear us play a song by Soundgarden on the Kevin Bean Show, it could come at any time. Just pick up the phone and be caller 20. Wee Man, right around the corner, too. Ralph's got the showbiz beat with right now. It's a brand-new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com. All of these are right there, one after another, so you can just check them out all at one time. We put up a bunch of videos. Some of them don't have much audio. One of them Dave is particularly proud of. And by the way, he should be, as a Clipper fan. Because Blake Griffin, they put in a video of all 214 of his dunks from this year.
Yeah, that's exhausting to try to watch the whole thing.
Exhausting? It's fantastic.
It's exhausting.
You're crazy.
It's too much activity.
Too much activity. Yeah, you yes, hate to see a guy really, really making great plays.
I get tired watching.
You get tired watching. I got through the top about 50 of them. SportsCenter.
About 50 of them. I was out.
Oh,
I was too
tired.
You're
bad in every way.
He's amazing, though. He's amazing.
The Foo Fighters were celebrating their new CD, which they recorded in Dave Grohl's garage by playing in different people's garages across the country. This particular one, it was a pizza man's garage.
Sing it for the cops, because they've been nice to us here tonight. They've been real nice to us tonight.
I'd rather hear Dave sing, but it seemed like it was fun for everybody that where they did that. It seemed like they really had a good time because Dave and the guys are so great.
And they're one of the biggest rock bands in the world. Yeah. They have the number one album in America, yet they're doing promotions like this where they go to your house and play in your garage. So awesome.
And in this video, a guy shouts, "Love you, Taylor." But like it didn't need to be louder than that because it was in a garage. It's right. Not like they were at a show and he had to shout it to be heard. It was really bizarre. The unbelievable David Beckham video.
Fake.
I think it's fake, too, because it isn't possible. Well, that's possible, but, you know, they would have to do it 700 times. But I play this because he kicks a soccer ball at a beach, for those of you who haven't seen it, into three trash cans that are, I don't know, 100 yards away. But the reason I want to play it for you is because the guy, there's always this guy at the end of it.
Hey, David, you think you can get that trash can over there?
Yeah.
Really? How about all three of them?
It's even easy.
What? No! No! You're kidding me!
Although he's a terrible hype man, you would have been pretty blown away if you had seen, if that really did happen and you saw it with your own eyes.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
But you gotta watch this video. You gotta go to Kevin Bean Internet Roundup and see the David Beckham video if you haven't seen it.
You can decide if it looks real. I mean, there are ways to fake it so that you can't tell. And I would imagine, honestly, that unless he, like I said, like 5 days in a row, even then it would be hard to do. But it is pretty impressive. We have highlighted some sports videos. Sports teams seem to like to make videos. 1985, I believe it was, the Chicago Bears did the Super Bowl Shuffle. And even before that, there were some of the teams in the 80s that did these music videos. I've never seen this one until recently. And it doesn't bode well for one of my favorite sports, which is soccer. It's the 1990 USA World Cup soccer team. And the song is called Victory. And it might be the worst of all of these team sports videos.
You gotta keep your chin up, and we'll be coming home with the World Cup. So put your best foot forward, together let's step. But make sure momentum is kept. Togetherness and unity means victory for you and me. With intellect and self-respect, attain whatever you want to get.
All right.
All sports stars seem to want to be rappers. All rappers seem to want to be sports stars. It's just a universal. Doesn't matter if it's 1990 or today.
Unity and self-respect. Come on. Stop it. Chad Goldwasser
Oh, my hero. I love this guy so much. I watch this video every morning before I get out of bed just to pump myself up for the day.
It really is. He's a motivational speaker. I can only imagine from this tape. But he's in a car. He's literally in a car, and he's talking to you. But he reaches over at one point and starts playing some music in his car, and then he starts, chanting along with that.
We got to fight to make things happen. We got to fight to be who we know we can be, to be leaders, to be strong, to make things happen. We have to fight, fight, fight,
fight. He's the best. He's one of those guys that, like, really, you get the sense that he so believes he's changing lives.
Yep.
And turns out he's not.
He's just headbanging to TNT in a parking lot like a sad old white man.
Lexi and Stephanie, we're going to have to do an entire break on at some point. Lexi and Stephanie, they're two girls on the internet, very Rebecca Black-ish. Mm-hmm. Only the video is way worse. It's green screen and it's cheesy. And yes, they can hit the notes, but they're horrible singers. And this particular one is Dancing Queen. They also do Eye of the Tiger and a bunch of others. But this particular one is Dancing Queen from ABBA in the 1970s. And I don't think girls that sing like this should perhaps sing this song like this. And they're also doing it while standing in the ocean.
And when you get the chance, you are the Dancing Queen.
Them that you'll love is they are also so serious, like mm-hmm. they also are changing the world with this music.
I think Rebecca Black has given license to everyone who has a computer to upload a video of them singing on YouTube because it worked for her.
Although I didn't check the timing on this, but there are 6-7 songs from these girls, so I would imagine they had to start before Rebecca Black, but I don't know. Watsky is the name of this kid. He's a pale kid, and he is perhaps the fastest rapper I've ever heard.
Part of me was hoping to be caught up in the moment, to be open to the good and the god of me, but I got a love out of me, get to get that out of me, become a bit of an oddity, what's a buddy, get to find out by the thought of me. Who's he? You gotta be kidding me. Do me like Cabaret Citibee. If you see me with a chickadee, no diggity, itty, giggity, giggity, giggity.
Come on with that.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Until you hear Mac Lethal.
Let's speed it up, big breath. Never been a cat, afraid of nothing. I am just an elevated entity. I'm coming to give it a back, a pump and jump on every instrument and increments of sentiments and syllables. I lunge, I'm living again. I'm sticking it in the muffins, make a couple million. I'm hoping to, I'm going to. So give me another reason I should sit around and not experience the benefits of getting down when all the dribble that they're spitting is so hideous. Godzilla, feel the viciousness.
You hear him coming, Busta?
Wow.
You hear
wow.
him coming, Busta Rhymes? You hear that?
Wow.
And then there's Yo Mo Ficky. And this perhaps is the worst rapper ever.
Man, I hope you know that I'm back and I'm gonna be ill on this track. This rap game's real unchanged. Drake and I'm Weezy the same. Well, Weezy's in jail right now, so I'm gonna take over and make him proud. Oh, all these haters across the world, get at me if you really want me to f*** a girl. Yeah.
I don't think Dr. Dre and Eminem need to worry about...
He's no Mac Lethal.
...about that particular guy. So that's it. You go to KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Rock traffic.
All right. Thank you, JT. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 6:53.
One of our favorites from the Jackass crew, Wee Man, joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now.
Oh, that Dancing with the Stars show just keeps getting worse.
Well, don't watch it.
Just keeps getting worse. You know who they voted off last night?
Nope.
Petra Nemkova.
Oh, how are you going to come in America like that?
Come on!
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not in my America.
Madness.
Is it possibly that she's a poor dancer, Ralph?
Yes, of course it's possible, and it's true, actually.
But
Petra Nemkova.
She's so hot.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah. They say this week was the first week she didn't show off her ridiculously long legs in some outfit. And that's probably why she got the boot, because people were just holding on until she started covering up, and they said, okay, you're no longer useful to me. So, for those of you who are still watching Dancing with the Stars, there's your update.
Don't feel like we have to do that update.
Remember did Kirstie Alley kill or eat anyone last night? Do we know if we got any body count from her?
She did not kill and did not eat anyone, according to my sources. However, she got a little extra help. She got a little tutor for her dancing.
Yeah.
Her old Scientology buddy, John Travolta.
Oh, he stopped by.
Finally stepped in and gave her some techniques, tips. on how to move. The guy can dance. Can't deny that.
Sure. Yeah.
That Saturday Night Fever thing. Well, that Grease thing.
What can you teach her, though?
Apparently suggested that she lose the super high heels that she's been wearing. It's probably a good idea when you have that much sheer weight bearing down on spiked heels. Not only can you drive your heel into the ground.
Sure.
But it probably makes it hard to balance. And seemed to work. She had a good night.
She broke one of those heels into powder, didn't she, one night?
She
literally just crushed it.
She was walking on granite, and she spiked it everywhere she went. She just drove holes into the marble flooring. Remember Happy Days, the old 70s show, Happy Days?
Sure.
Not that happy.
Uh-oh.
Not so happy for some of the cast of Happy Days.
Behind-the-scenes gossip?
Anson Williams, Marion Ross, Donnie Most, Erin Moran, and Patricia Bosley, who is the wife of Tom Bosley, who played a father on that show. They've all filed a lawsuit saying that they deserve more money from the merchandising deals that were made for the Happy Days TV show. What really spurred them on is apparently one of the most popular slot machines in Vegas now is the Happy Days slot machine.
Really?
Yeah, where you play it and you get three Marions and... Hey, Fonzie says something.
Right.
And Richie comes by and you get something. Their images are up on that screen and they're like, hey, how about giving the drummer some, you know?
They sort of have to, don't they?
I think they should. Huh. They're using their images, but look, Paramount and CBS owns that show, so I don't know what the legality is. Anyway, they're bitching and moaning. They want some money. Apparently, Ron Howard nor Henry Winkler are part of the lawsuit because their lawyers say they have lives!
And they have other ways to make money.
Yes, they've got careers. So.
Doing things.
Not that important.
It is fascinating. It's something nobody would have ever thought about when that show was on in the 1970s is, will I still be making money from this role in the 21st century?
Yeah.
I don't know how the contracts were written, but it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
And talking about other ways to make money, Jeff Bridges has announced he's going to make an album. Jeff Bridges, Oscar-winning actor for Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
He and T-Bone Burnett are going to get together and work on Jeff Bridges' first album.
He's apparently pretty serious about music.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm a big Jeff Bridges fan.
Yes.
Don't need a Jeff Bridges album.
Don't need him to sing.
Take that time. Make yourself a movie.
Make another movie.
That.
Yeah.
Nope.
Come on. Speaking of movies, Marion Cotillard.
Oh.
Been confirmed that she will be appearing in The Dark Knight Rises, the third and, according to all sources, last Batman film for
bonkers.
Christian. Her eyes are not bonkers, Kevin. You have to stop saying that.
Her eyes are a little bonkers.
They're not bonkers.
Bonkers.
They're not bonkers. Beautiful woman. A beautiful woman.
I'm not saying she's ugly. I'm just saying her eyes are
bonkers.
They're not bonkers. They're just beautiful eyes. That's all they are. Nothing else.
And they're not a little.
No. She apparently will play a Wayne Enterprises board member who tries to help a still grieving Bruce Wayne after he lost his girlfriend. You know how she helps him.
Bonkers.
This is how she helps him.
I see, Ralph. I see.
I don't think you understand.
She helps see that. Yes. I do, yes.
Is meat on the menu this week?
Apparently. Yeah, it's confirmed. So that's Marion Cotillard.
Bonkers.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, also in the cast.
Wow.
Tom Hardy. It's like an Inception reunion for Christopher Nolan and his cast members. So Anne Hathaway and Christian Bale also starring. That's good news, though. Good cast.
Sure.
Anne Hathaway's going to play Catwoman. Meow. Today's celebrity birthdays. George Takei.
Mr. Sulu. Star Trek. Oh, my.
He's 74 years old today. Gregory Itzen of 24 is 63. Jessica Lange is 62. Clint Howard celebrates his 52nd birthday. Speaking of Ron Howard, that's his brother, who's also an actor. Crispin Glover's 47. Carmen Electra's 39 years old. Joey Lawrence turns 35. And Miranda Kerr is 28 years old. We were just looking at photos of her this morning, weren't we?
Yep.
She had a baby 3 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Sure doesn't look like it,
no,
does it?
No, it does not.
No one's abdomen has ever been more taut than hers in
she
that photograph.
She actually needs to hit a buffet.
She's a little skinny.
Yeah.
She could use a little hip and a little...
And that's not usually the case right after you give birth.
No.
I think mothers all over the country are trying to get those photos suppressed and taken off the internet.
She must have had like a 5 ounce baby, right? She had a mini baby. she had a mini baby. Like something came out like. I think it was like one of those. You know, you go in the supermarkets and they've got those toys that you get out of the vending machines,
right?
Like the bubble gum machines. You put a quarter in and you turn it, and then a little bubble comes out.
Right.
And it's got like tattoos or a ring in there or something.
There was a baby.
Baby came out in a ring, I think.
I don't doubt
or
that.
In a bubble, rather. That's how she had a baby.
I do not doubt that.
Craziness. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We always look forward to our next guest appearance. Give me a little music here, Beer Mug, as we introduce Wee Man, who joins us in studio, star of television, star of movies, restaurant proprietor, and a guy who walked into our studio minutes ago and welcomed us with these words: "Hey, midgets." Wee Man, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thank you, Bean. Thank you, Kevin.
Happy 420, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about your chronic taco off the air and how you're the boss.
Yep.
That's got to be weird.
It kind of...
I mean, the people that work there, when you walk in, they go, oh, the boss is here.
Yeah, and it's trippy because people do flip out and... I mean, you see somebody you know and you get all weird, but these people see me all the time and they still get all weird.
That's bizarre. Do they think, hey, this guy's a prankster? We can do anything and get away with it. And you have to crack the whip? You're fired.
I mean, isn't it tough for you to do what you do for a living, Wee Man, and then all of a sudden be the man and have to actually run a business?
You're the man.
You are the man.
It's pretty trippy. I do go in there and it trips me out because I try to be the nicest guy anywhere I am. And, you know, hello to everybody, hugs and kisses. But when I do hear about somebody messing up and I have to go in there and give authority, it's weird because it's like I feel like Napoleon, the little guy coming in, just running, you know, the show, like boom, 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 and it sucks.
Do you think these words have ever been spoken about you when the employees went home?
Oh, yeah.
My boss is a dick.
I know they do. And, you know, it comes with the territory.
Oh, it's Wee Man's Chronic Tacos, by the way, is there's a bunch of Chronic Tacos locations around Southern California. Wee Man owns the one at 306 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach. And
yep.
You've had it, what, about a year now? Something
yeah,
like that?
A little over a year now.
Of all the ways to invest your jackass money, it seems like a restaurant is in many ways the most dangerous and the easiest way to lose money. Oftentimes, people say is to invest in a restaurant.
It's a guarantee.
Why'd you go this route?
I just my buddy kept going to one up in Corona, and he said, "Dude, there's a line out the door all the time. We need to do something about it." And I go, "All right, well, set me up a meeting with the main owner, and let's see what happens." So we had a meeting. And the guy goes, "There's no way you could bring me Wee Man to come in and,
right.
You know."
And then you have that whole weird thing where they go, "You're kidding, right? There's a yeah. camera somewhere.
Right.
So, am I going to get hit in the nuts? What's going on here?"
Yeah, exactly. So we had a meeting, and it was at a big cantina. And, I mean, it's just a restaurant. And there was girls on stage dancing, and it turned into a nightclub.
Sweet.
And my buddy's like, "Dude, we're going into business." And I'm like, "Sounds, if it's like this all the time, it's on."
And how much time do you actually spend there? How much of your day or your week does it take up?
If I'm around, I try and go in every other day or whatever just to check on the guys. And
just
stuff.
For free food. That's why you're going in.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Feed me now.
Yeah. And, of course, I have all my friends who just show up and just go, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm Wee Man's buddy." So.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
And they expect free stuff, do they?
Oh, all the time.
That's awesome. Look, we can't give out free stuff to everyone I've ever met.
Wee Man, you guys, you know, the place is called Chronic Tacos. Do you do anything special or different for today in celebration of the holiday?
We might sprinkle in a little fairy dust.
I see.
That's what I got you.
Wee Man is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always great to catch up with him. We have so much to talk about. And I understand, and Kevin, you'll love to hear this. Wee Man, you were at that game last night as well?
Oh.
Yeah, I was at the game, and I left because I was getting tired and getting hounded. So I left right at the end of second period.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was exciting, the beginning of the first period.
Yes, it was.
And I was texting all my friends in San Jose. I was like, "The Sharks didn't even show up."
We're talking about the King-Sharks game last night.
Yeah,
the Kings jumped out to a 4-0 lead, which always scares me because when it happens that early.
It was amazing, though.
Yeah, it was. That first period was sure amazing.
But the second period must have been, I mean, Kevin, you were having a heart attack, but Wee Man, 7 goals scored scored in a one period of hockey. You just don't ever see that.
No, no, but
it, but and, all but most of them by the Sharks.
Right, Sharks fans must have been going crazy in the second period. I wanted to kill someone.
Were you there? Too?
Yes,
dude. It was great because the whole first period, the place was going up in flames. The second period, every time the Sharks would score,
yeah,
it was like, yeah, you know what I mean? And you just see all the Kings fans like, I'm going to kill that guy.
There were some Sharks fans
in the crowd.
In the crowd. And most of the time, you know, when they score a goal or whatever, they get up, people boo them or flip them off or whatever. But now, like, they just scored four or five goals in a row, and everybody's like, wow, I want to take my life.
Yeah.
Wait, man, that sucks, though. Did you really leave because you were getting drawing too much attention? Too many people wanted pictures and autographs and stuff?
Dude, it happens all the time. And, I mean, I can't put on sunglasses and a hat and cover my look.
Right.
You
That's
know?
True, yeah. So. You can wear stilts. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to be wearing stilts in a stadium.
Walking down steps.
Yeah.
Now, you have also been going to the Lakers playoff games, too, right?
Yeah.
It was a busy week for you.
I was at the Sunday game. And
how was that? That was good, too. Maybe you're the curse.
No.
You ever think about
Lakers
that?
Sucked on Sunday.
No, I was at Game 7 last year, and the Lakers won.
All right.
So I'm not a curse.
I just want to make sure.
All right. No.
Did you show up after the first period last night? You were there for the whole thing.
I was there for
I'm just checking.
No, but I did get to the Laker game like at 11 and started drinking.
Good.
Got wasted by halftime and had to leave it. Got thrown out by halftime.
Oh, my God. This is a playoff ticket. Do you know how much people would pay for a chance to be in that room that you got thrown out of? Are you kidding me?
I know.
What's he supposed to do, man?
Yeah.
He's got a drink.
And really, just the tiniest glass is all it takes, right?
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's true for anything. That's true for, you know, for girls, too. I mean, if you weigh less, it takes less to get you drunk. I mean, that's just a science fact.
I got a little chubbiness on me, you know. I got places to hold it.
Is that specifically so you can drink more?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, you need a few more pounds, then you would have seen the second half on Sunday.
Wee Man is here. Chronic Tacos is his location at 306 South Pacific Coast Highway, Redondo Beach. They're open today, and I'm sure. I mean, it's like a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo. The place is going to be packed, particularly today for Chronic Tacos.
Yeah. You guys are going
to
be there
today.
We've
got a band down there at noon to 3, and they're giving away slightly stupid tickets and all kinds of
fantastic.
Stuff.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. More with the Wee Man when we return right after this on the Kevin. Congratulations to Kevin and Bean listener Erica Horta. Just won tickets to go see Soundgarden at the Forum this summer. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 for the show July 22nd. It's our 420 show here with Kevin and Bean and Wee Man in studio.
Let's go smell some pie. Let's go smell some pie. Let's go smell some pie. Let's go smell some pie.
I follow Wee Man on the Twitter. I am Wee Man is his Twitter name. And you teased us a little bit last night that you might have a funny 420 story for us today, Wee Man. What's going on?
Yeah, a few years ago on 420, it was before the third movie. We were just filming random stuff. I totally forget why we were filming. But we went and filmed something.
Just because you're the jackass guys.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
We just bring a camera out and we have a reason to film.
Right.
So we connected with Willie Nelson on 420.
Now, wait. How did that happen?
Well, we just make a phone call and we tell him who we are.
You call Willie Nelson and go, hey, we're the jackass guys. We'd like to hang out with you.
Yeah. No, Knoxville knows him. They're real good friends. They drink moonshine together and all that.
I think they were both in that, terrible movie with Jessica Simpson.
Dukes of Hazzard or whatever.
Dukes of Hazzard. I think they're both in the Dukes of Hazzard. That's probably why they didn't.
Right. That's how they became buddies. So we were hanging out. We're like, oh, we all have to make t-shirts and stuff for this. So I had Wee Man shirt. Willie had Willie's shirt. And next thing you know, Willie pulls out, you know, the vaporizer.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, I don't smoke weed ever. I'm not a weed smoker.
But it's on.
But it's Willie Nelson. And if I told somebody I hung out with him and didn't smoke weed,
of course,
they'd kick my butt.
And you don't have an option at that.
You don't have a choice, right.
It's a go.
Yeah.
So I took a couple puffs. I'm like, oh, this ain't, what do you got here, Willie? Like weak stuff?
Yeah.
But I didn't know the vaporizer gets it going good.
Yeah.
And by the end of the time, I was sitting there and I was seriously like, wow, do I have like 8 fingers
Look
on this
at my hand?
Yeah. But the best part of it was Willie goes, hey, I want your Wee Man shirt. And I'm like, you can have it.
He traded with you?
And he traded. And I go, yeah, I'll trade you. And he goes, here, have the shirt off my back.
You have Willie Nelson's shirt?
With his name on it that he wore.
What?
That's sweet. Where was all this happening? Were you at his house or the hotel or what?
No, he was playing out here or something. He was doing a show. And it was just in the hotel parking lot. And we were on his bus. We're in the back of the parking lot on his bus.
You have the weirdest life. You must just look around and go, I don't know what's happening right now, but we're in a parking lot. It's 4:20, and Willie Nelson is trading shirts with me.
And we're getting high.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. Now, is he the kind of guy that you'll stay in touch with? Are you friends with him now? Could you call Willie Nelson now?
I didn't get his phone number, but I know if I got, I could call him.
If you wanted to, you could.
Yeah, and he would fly me to his house, and we'd party.
Fantastic. You should do that then. If that's an option, that's not an option for me. If that's an option, you should do that.
You got to do that, yeah. Hey, Wee Man is here, of course. It is 4:20. Chronic Tacos. Tacos.
Tacos.
Is it 306 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach? That's Wee Man's location. There are many other locations around Southern California, but stop by Wee Man's location. Give him some love today on the 4:20.
We're going to give away tacos, too, today.
You're giving away tacos?
Yeah. Oh, well, you have to come in because I guess you guys are giving away tickets.
Yeah, slightly stupid.
And South Bay Mini's going to be there doing some stuff.
Okay.
And if somebody comes in and says they heard, hey, I know that Wee Man drives a Mini from South Bay Mini.
Okay.
At the register, they get one free taco.
Oh, how about that? Do you really drive a Mini from South Bend?
What is it, Bean?
I don't know.
He's Wee Man.
But what's funny is I have the biggest Mini.
Is there a biggest Mini?
Yeah, it's the Countryman. It's like, and it's like, you know.
You say that like I should be ashamed for not knowing it.
Well, it's been a popular car the last year or so. It's the four-door, right?
Yeah, it's the four-door. It's all-wheel. It's badass. And, of course. Yeah. I was like, okay, if you're going to give me a Mini, I want the big one.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I'm not just going to take the little guy.
Right. Of course.
Hey, real quick before you go, Wee Man, Jackass 3.5 or whatever they're calling
3.5.
3.5 is still available online. Is that also going to come out on DVD at some point or no?
Yeah, they tell me when and all that, and I'm ADD and I forget and all that.
Right.
But it is coming out on DVD soon, and it's a good one.
Every time you guys make a movie, we think, well, that's it. They can't possibly make another one because they're lucky to have survived the first one. Yet you guys always come up with more stuff for another movie. Has anybody gotten the itch yet to say, guys, it's time to get the gang back together again?
No. And it's usually Knox that gives the green light. And I mean, all of our movies so far, there's been about a 3-4 year gap.
Right.
So we can come up with ideas, recover. And
recover from all of your injuries.
Yeah. And then, you know, put something really good out. If we put something out now, we're kind of overloading the audience with so much Jackass stuff.
Right. But not for us. Not for me.
Oh, well done.
You can do something every day. I would love it.
So we want that anticipation too, you know, which helps.
I understand that. But the good news is everybody's going to be up for it at some point. It's just a question of the appropriate time. You're going to do it again.
Oh, now, and you got two thumbs up for me. I'm in.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. But is there a little bit...
hesitation?
There a little bit of dread when you go, oh, man, this is going to not be good. Something's going to hurt. You know what I mean? Like, this is
always like that.
Part of it's going to suck.
Every day is like that. It's like we get the, you know, hey, are you guys going to do it? And we go, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And then, what's going to happen this time?
So you agree to whatever stunt is brought up.
Yep.
And then on the day of, you go, what am I thinking? This is a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. And then you're not talking to nobody. You're like on a short fuse. Somebody comes up and just pats you on the back, and you want to punch him in the face.
Hey, don't touch me!
Yeah, exactly.
But I know there's dread when it's your stunt that day, but how much joy do you get the other days when it's somebody else's stunt? That's what's fun to me about the movies, is what a great time you guys are having putting your friends through hell.
Oh, dude, it's the best when, like, Tremaine goes, all right, so we're going to get Aaron right now. Wee Man, just get in the background over there and, like, you know, do some... Oh, I'm going to kick him in the nuts when he's done. And I love this.
Now, do you get that kind of response? People that see Jackass, they must come up to you and kick you in the nuts. I mean, does that happen?
Everything happens.
I would walk around with a cup if I were any one of you Jackass guys.
It's not that they want to kick me in the nuts. It's they want me to kick them in the nuts.
Okay, and that's even weirder.
It gets old because, like, yeah, I want to do a Jackass stunt. Come on, kick me in the nuts, dude. And I'm like, oh, God.
All right, I'll kick you in the nuts.
All right. Well, listen, we love having you in, Wee Man. It's always great to see you, buddy. Seriously, thank you a lot for coming in.
I love being here.
We appreciate it so much. 306 South Coast Pacific Highway, Redondo Beach for Wee Man's Chronic Tacos location. You have a great time. We'll talk to you again soon. For everybody else, Wee Man's going to take off, but I think he's going to nail Alex before he goes. That's the rumor I heard. Is that going around? Did you guys hear that too?
I heard Omar.
Is Alex his dude? Nail Omar. Or?
She's our producer, yeah.
Oh, she's our producer.
Yeah.
She's in her office right over there.
I'm single.
Is that good? Okay. All right. She's sort of single. That works.
For everyone else, though, how about a pair of tickets to the Big Four this weekend? It's Saturday at the Empire Polo Fields. We got Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, the biggest names in heavy metal music. Let's face it, it's unbelievable that they're all playing one show on one day, and you can win tickets now. We're going to ask for some metalheads, though. We're looking for you to stump Ozzy. As you know, Ozzy knows all things metal. If you've got a question about one of those four bands.
Knew all things metal a long time ago.
If you've got a question about Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, or Anthrax, and you can stump Ozzy, you'll have a shot at winning some tickets, and we'll play that game coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, the Big Four, it's happening this weekend. We're talking Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. You want to win some tickets? You can right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you can, stump Ozzy. Ozzy, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, fellas?
We're good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. You know why you're here today? You know about the big metal show happening Saturday? I'm surprised you're not on the bill.
No, it was a big metal show, and there's going to be the big four medals. They're going to be gold.
Silver. No,
we're going to have lead.
It's four bands, and Metallica, Slayer.
And copper. Yeah,
Megadeth and Anthrax.
Not a copper like a police officer, but an actual big copper.
Now, Ozzy, try to focus here. We're talking about the bands that Kevin just mentioned, who I'm sure that you've played with pretty much all those bands. You're probably friends with those guys, and you know a lot about them, right?
I've worked with so many bands that I know all about the bands that I've worked with.
Okay, good.
Okay, that's fantastic. So what we're going to ask the listeners to do is call us right now, and if they can stump you with a trivia question about any of the four bands on the bill this weekend, then they go into the drawing to win tickets to attend the Big Four on us. Okay,
so
you ready to talk to your first
call? They'll ask you the questions, and then
if
they stump me, then go to the show?
No, they're going
to
ask a question.
Sharon, you're going to the show if I can stump them.
I don't think that's it. No, Ozzy. All right. Let's just go to the first caller, and I think it'll fall into place.
I have to stump him with a question.
No.
Let me ask him a question.
No, we'll walk you through it. Dan.
Dan, which member of Megadeth was in Metallica?
Dan is asking you a question, and then you try to come up with the answer. Let Dan ask you the question first, Ozzy, okay?
All right, then.
Hi, Dan. Right. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Ozzy.
Yes, go ahead.
Your name is Ozzy, too? Is this Ozzy?
No, you're Ozzy. Oh. He's Dan, and if we could get Dan to ask the question, we would.
All right, which member of Megadeth was an original member of Metallica?
Arthur Fonzarelli. Okay. Arthur Fonzarelli was in Megadeth and Metallica.
He's not in either.
He was. I remember it. I said, hey.
Is that the case? Dan, is it Arthur Fonzarelli?
No, it's not.
No, it turns out. It is...
Dave Mustaine.
Okay, thank you.
And you probably know Dave Mustaine.
Did he invent the car?
I'm surprised you didn't know that one.
Drivers in the Mustangs.
No, that's...
All right, so Dan is in the drawing. Let's try Richard. Richard is on line four. He's got a question for you if you know so much about the bands.
I do know about the bands.
Richard,
what's going on, guys?
Hi there. You're on with Ozzy. Go ahead.
Ozzy, where did Lars Ulrich attend high school?
Lars Ulrich attended high school... Riverdale High.
That was Archie close, and Betty and Veronica and Jughead.
And Lars Kamprad.
Huh?
Lars Ulrich.
You've heard of him, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I've heard of him. It's Riverdale.
That's not...
Well, muskrats.
Is it Riverdale, Richard?
No, that'd be Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach.
Right, okay. Next to Riverdale.
Nope.
So you're in the drawing as
Riverdale
well.
Riverdale adjacent.
Let's try Shane, line three, on with the great Ozzy Osbourne. Try to stump Ozzy for a shot at Big Four tickets. Shane, good luck.
All right, good morning. Who was the original band bass player for Metallica?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Come on, you can't.
Okay,
that's not wrong.
I'm going to get it right.
No, you're not.
Shane, that'll never be the answer.
Arthur Fonzarelli on the phone.
The Fonzie will never be the answer to one of these questions, okay, Ozzy? Do you want to take another stab at the original bass player?
Debbie Gibson. For Metallica. Debbie Gibson. She played the Gibson bass.
Shane, you have the answer?
It was Cliff Burton.
Cliff Burton.
Cliff Richards, he was in none of the bands.
Hang on. By the way, we do generally ask that you have the right answer. And if there's one thing I remember from the last time we played this game, Cliff Burton was the second bassist for Metallica, and a guy named Ron McCubney was the first.
We are going to put him in the Big Four.
You said Arthur Fonzarelli. I think he was close enough.
We are going to put him in the drawing anyway. All right, let's try Rick. Rick's on line eight. Stump Ozzy for a shot at Big Four tickets. Good luck, Rick.
What sport was Lars Ulrich a champion of?
Professional bull riding.
Was he a professional bull rider, Rick?
No, he was not. He was a tennis champion.
Tennis?
Tennis?
No, yeah. But he played on a bull. He used to play tennis on a bull.
He never played tennis on a bull.
And he would jump the net on the bull.
I don't think that's true.
It was very impressive. I saw it was... Are you making fun of me?
Don't mock the Prince of Darkness. Come on.
Rick's making fun of me.
He is making fun of you. All right. Hold on.
Let's do one more. Let's try Chris. He's on line
two. Get Kelly to eat him.
Chris, you're on with the great Ozzy Osbourne. Go ahead.
So, who
was
the original singer of Anthrax?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Stop!
I told you.
God damn you to hell.
I keep asking the same question.
They're all different questions.
None
of the answers are Arthur Fonzarelli.
One was guitar, one was bass, and this is singing. None of them are the Fonz.
Guitar's a country, first of all. It has nothing to do with Arthur Fonzarelli.
Chris was the Fonz, the original lead singer of Anthrax.
No, it was not. It was Joey Belladonna.
Okay, so
Joey Buttafuoco.
No, for God's sakes,
he was not even alive back when
Anthrax.
What the hell
is wrong with you?
All right, essentially everyone was able to stump Ozzy. Dan, Chris, Shane, Rick. They're all in the drawing. Let's see who's going to win tickets for Big Four this weekend.
And Sharon. Sharon's also in the drawing.
Sharon is not in the drawing.
Sharon, you're not in the drawing.
The last guy we talked to, Chris. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You got tickets, Big Four. Yeah. Thank your pal Ozzy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Tell Fonzie I said hi.
Welcome to the 420 show on the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, remember when they used to let us broadcast live? We'd have like Cypress Hill come down and play and all that fun stuff.
We used to have to record those shows on wax.
That was back before Ralph ruined it last year.
How dare you, sir?
It was St. Patrick's Day that killed all live broadcasts forever, right? Pretty much.
Yep.
We are struggling anyway, trying to bring you a 420 show. Noted pot smoker Bob Saget joins us after the top of the hour. Ziggy Marley next hour, too. And I don't get the tie-in to 420, but Ralph has a video vault today of a movie called Nudist Colony of the Dead, and I can't wait for that.
The tie-in is you have to be stoned in order to watch this film.
I see.
You have to be baked.
If you are baked, it's hilarious.
What if you're not?
It's still pretty fun.
Okay, good. All of that coming up on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, you know that actress, Paz de la Huerta?
Yes,
She's on Boardwalk Empire. She plays the flapper Lucy, who is Steve Buscemi's mistress on that show. She's naked a lot on that show.
Kevin, you're not watching Boardwalk Empire. You didn't catch it at all. Humping a lot. A lot of that?
She plays sort of a wild, crazy, disturbed party girl on the show.
Right. And a gold digger.
Guess what? Not acting.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's had some problems recently. She was seen falling down, stumbling drunk out of a nightclub, was caught on camera doing that. And most recently, she got into a fight on Tuesday with Samantha Suerta, who is the former star of MTV's reality show The City. Apparently last month they got into it, and the complaints have just been filed. She was arraigned on Tuesday by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. She was charged with multiple counts of third-degree assault, criminal possession of a weapon, attempted assault, and harassment.
Wow.
Now, Suerta says that Oz punched her in the face and threw a glass at her leg, which caused bleeding from her mouth and nose, as well as cuts and bleeding on her leg. This all happened at the Standard Hotel in New York City. Paz de la Huerta apparently took a liking to Suerta's male companion.
Uh-oh.
Started coming on to him right in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
Suerta apparently did not care for that. Samantha asked her to step back. That's when Paz de la Huerta took a swing at her, punched her in the face, and then started throwing glasses at her, one of which cut her leg.
Actual audio from the fight.
The only thing I can think of is how great is it to be that guy?
Yeah.
Imagine you're the guy at that club. You're at the Standard. Yeah. Positively right to, oh, I want to have sex with you. Oh, no. I am Samantha Sprint. I want to have sex with you. I don't know why they have those accents, no. But the next thing you know, she's flying of fur and claws and fangs and glasses being thrown. You just kick back, light one up.
Yeah, he didn't try.
Yes, ladies, there's enough for me to go around.
He didn't try to break that up.
No,
did he?
He did not.
No.
She's awfully good at being crazy on that show, Ralph.
Yes.
And now we know what she's drawing it from. That's crazy.
Yeah, she likes her some cocktails.
and I think Mr. Skin backed this point up. I think that was the best nudity on television this past year was Paz in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I think it did. This is a sad story. Tim Robbins, outstanding actor. By speaking of which, I think it's this weekend it debuts. They've got the film based on the true story of the Loud family. Familiar with the Loud family?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
This was television's first reality TV. PBS Loud did a documentary about a typical American family, and their name happened to be the Louds.
Oh.
And they shot them in their home with cameras in their house 24/7 and documented their life. It's the first time this had ever been done on television.
This was maybe
30 years ago.
Wow. Not good.
And it turned out to be fascinating, but horrible, like a train wreck like nobody ever could possibly have expected. It turned out the father was cheating on his wife, and one of the kids was gay, but hadn't come out of the closet yet. I mean, it was remarkable television. So they're making a film about the making of that series, and Tim Robbins is playing the father of the Loud family in that. James Gandolfini plays the documentarian. Diane Lane plays Tim Robbins' wife. Looks terrific, so I'm going to check it out. That's an aside.
That's kind of what the real-life movie was. Albert Brooks maybe did the same movie, right? Where he played a guy filming a family in their own home.
The comedy version of that, right, yeah. Only in his version, because it's Albert Brooks and it's a comedy, the family's incredibly boring and he has to try to create things to make them more interesting, which, you know, was really just prophetic because it all happened when they make reality TV now. Anyway.
Oh, my God, who the hell
this is interesting
cares?
Stuff.
Try to keep up, Kevin.
It was interesting until Bean spoke up.
How dare you?
He's saying they're making a movie about the making of the documentary, and I'm saying they've kind of already done that. But
I
now
just
they're
don't
doing
care
it
at all.
I am exhausted.
I am too.
I am just spent.
Let's call it a
it's
day.
One
sorry,
story.
Bob Saget. Go
it's
home.
One story.
I know. Let's move on.
I'm trying to get through. I haven't gotten to the story part of the story yet.
What's going on with Tim Robbins, Ralph?
Tim Robbins had a bad week. He lost both of his parents in the same 2-week span.
We'll just start with that.
His father, Gil Robbins, who was a member of the folk group The Highwaymen, by the way, I didn't know that, succumbed to prostate cancer on April the 5th, and then his mom, Mary Robbins, she died of heart arrhythmia on the 17th. So lost both of his parents within 2 weeks of each other.
Wow.
That's horrible. But he's got that new movie coming out on HBO, so he's got that to look forward to.
Upside.
I'm just saying. And good news, Marion Cotillard has confirmed that she will be playing a character in The Dark Knight Rises, the final film in Christian Bale's Batman trilogy. Christopher Nolan, of course, the director of that film, and he worked with Marion Cotillard on Inception. Former Inception castmates Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Tom Hardy are also joining her in that cast. But according to sources, she's going to play a Wayne Enterprises board member who is eager to help a still-grieving Bruce Wayne who lost his girlfriend, remember, in the last film. She got blowed up. And apparently, she makes him feel better. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Bonkers.
for the last time.
Back to you.
Her eyes are not bonkers.
A little.
They're not
a
even
little
a little
bit.
Bonkers.
A little bonkers.
She just has really big, beautiful eyes.
A little bonkers.
They're not bonkers.
Just a tiny, how about this?
Bonkers.
How about
no,
this lower volume?
No, not low bonkers. No bonkers.
Bonkers.
Today's celebrity birthday. Miranda Kerr is 28 years old today.
Oh, what about Miranda Kerr? What about her? She's way hot, but honestly, she could eat a little.
She had a baby this year.
Yeah,
how
well,
could she be
that
so thin?
That baby's starving. That baby is starving like she is. She needs a little something.
A little, just a little meat on those
see
bones.
See too much bone and muscle right there, in that, especially in the hip region. I like soft, curvier hips on a woman.
Yeah.
She's boy from the waist down. That's my problem. Which isn't always a bad thing. Joey Lawrence is 35. Carmen Electra's 39. Crispin Glover, he can kick.
He can
I saw
kick.
That once on a TV show. He's 47. Clint Howard, the actor and brother of Ron Howard, is 52. Jessica Lange is 62. Gregory Itzen of 24 turned 63.
And George Takei, oh my, is 74 years old today. Fire.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're f***ing awesome. And they are back and they are street and they are boys and they are men. And they rock my f***ing world. Actually, name dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're f***ing right, Quentin. And we were up all night and Tribeca was off the hizzle. Marijuana's not a drug. I used to suck for coke. Sag it, you rock. You suck for coke. That's what I do. I suck but only for coke. Here's the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Bob Saget. This guy sucks almost as bad as that guy on Full House.
It is 420, celebrating here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bob Saget, are you an appropriate booking for 420? Did we choose correctly here?
You did. I have actually done it before. About 8 years ago, I did a college. And when I say I did a college, I was just there. But they were it was 420, and I didn't know. I was that lame.
Okay.
And I said, well, 420, all right. What a great date.
But there was enough smoke in the air that...
I was in a bong,
yeah.
Basically.
You were in a bong.
Basically. They were what do you call that when you put your mouth up to someone and then you blow smoke? They were shotgunning
okay.
me.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was like, hey,
I didn't mean
easy.
To look at you and make that kind of eye contact,
and you,
Kevin.
With your hand motions, I was very uncomfortable for
what
a minute.
What is it when you put your man boobs into a man? That's 420, right? But it was, it's nice because the audience, I assume now my audiences are on something. And if you're playing like a casino with young people there, it's a lot of booze.
Sure.
And Jaeger and backwash.
Which yeah.
It's always good when you're eating your eggs.
And throw up.
Throw up is not good. I'm not a big throw up lover, but some people are.
Yeah. No.
You, your character on, your recurring role on Entourage,
yes.
that character, that version of Bob Saget on my TV, is a fan of the pot, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he does like it. He would sit there with his bong and just get a little bit of that to relax.
Hilarious.
Me personally, it burns my lungs.
It burns your lungs.
It burns my lungs. I also put little flares on my nipples while I'm smoking it.
Okay, so, that might be a problem.
That really has nothing to do with the pot.
Have you tried to eat any, the brownies or any of that kind of stuff?
Okay, I will share a story with
all
you
right.
because it is you.
Okay.
And, you know, it's therapy. It's therapy, and then the next place is here.
Okay.
This is a sacred space. And you're a rabbi.
There's no judging.
That's right. Kevin is a rabbi, in fact. So feel free to speak freely, my son.
I was wondering why he wanted to clip me the moment I came in. Well, I was given by someone that I knew a delicious cake. And,
yes.
And it was around the time where everything, I have a license. You know, everybody tells you they
sure.
have a license because the world has changed.
Right.
And I tasted it, and it was delicious, and 14 hours later, I was ready to put on bathrobes and drive to the Polo Lounge. I did not know I couldn't do anything I wanted, nor did I ever think I would come back to
yeah.
the world. And
it
how much
can last longer that way.
It was insane,
yeah.
And I'm not that guy. You know, years ago, because I'm in my 50s now, years ago I would just turn off the sound on the TV and just narrate everything, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're high.
Sure.
But if you don't know that you're eating like a pie, and then you're still hungry, so you eat the blueberry versions.
Oh, no, yeah.
You have this extra little appendages.
It does take at least, in most cases, about an hour. So 45 minutes in, you go, I'm fine. I'm going to eat something else.
It was great.
That's a mistake.
By the end of it, it was the best 421 we had ever had.
Bob Saget is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bob is always welcome on the program, but especially today because he has a special event coming up around the corner on Wednesday, May 4th in San Francisco at the Palace Hotel on New New Montgomery Street. This is for that made-up disease that you're always trying to scam people out of money for, right, Bob?
That's me. We make up the disease, and the money goes right into buying, you know, nice clothes for the people I care about.
Sweet.
I remember the first time I mocked you for scleroderma, and then you came back, and I'll never forget how I felt when you said, yeah, my sister died from that, a-hole. And I thought, well, scleroderma is apparently real, and apparently Bob's serious about this.
And yeah. I believe this is going to be very offensive, that the a-hole is the last thing to go. So oh. What I wanted to say is, if I don't have the gallows humor, then it's just sad. But you want to hear the... I'll do it as fast as I can.
All right, go ahead.
Who wants to suffer in the morning?
Here's
besides
the slow pitch.
Me. I met a friend named Sharon Monsky who founded this organization, the Scleroderma Research Foundation, 30 years ago. I met her, and then a couple years later, I found out my sister came down with this rare disease. It turned out to be that. So it was just...
Is
literally
it possible that that
irony.
Woman gave it to your sister?
No, they hadn't okay. met. You all can't right. get it from the same soda.
All right.
And you can't shotgun it
weird.
Into someone's mouth.
That's a weird
It's an odd,
coincidence.
What you would say, serendipitous or fortuitous or something strange. And
those are both good words, though. I don't know.
They're
that
larger. I looked at them before I came okay. here because I have...
No, I'm saying they have a good connotation, and that may not be what you're looking for your sister got sick. But
no,
go ahead.
It's
I'm sorry.
Well, truthfully, it just sucked is what
okay,
that's the
okay.
easiest. But right. the odds of her having a disease that all of a sudden was doing benefits for.
Right.
I was drawn to it by Susan Feniger, who owns Street and the chef at Porter Grill. And that she's the person that cooks all the food at our benefit, which is called Cool Comedy Hut Cuisine. She was a very close friend of the Sharon Monsky, wonderful sage woman.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You know and what's fascinating, Bob?
It was funny because it was a recording sampler,
yeah.
and it was literally... almost as loud as the voice that said the exact same thing in my head.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And what's sad, Bob, and the reason I'm glad you're doing this event, I'm glad you mentioned it coming up on May 4th at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, is that there are so many diseases out there that do not get publicity. They are not well known enough to get funding, to raise money. And that's why an event like yours that you do every year is very important to do, because you've got to get the coffers filled so they can continue to research this disease, right?
And coffers. Who uses the word coffers anymore?
Well, on 420, everybody is. Mostly women in the prime of their lives. A lot of men get it. It's when the skin tightens up. You can see people that have it. You don't know what it is, but it's a strain of a day. They can get Raynaud's arthritis in their fingertips, or their esophagus can
start
deteriorating.
Is there a cure or no?
They're doing very, very well. Okay. We have research centers at Stanford. We have a great one at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Fred Wigley. And they have many, many more patients. There's thousands of scleroderma patients going through these centers.
Wow.
And so they really have made some – and, you know, you watch telethons on TV, and it's like, we found the gene, you know, and then you wait 50 years and
right.
you know, we're all
hey,
gonna,
what about that? You found the gene
we're
thing.
We're going to be 160. I thought I found the gene. That's why I wrote the check. Where's the gene? But this has been true. There are patients that, of course, have passed on, and there have been patients that are now in remission. And I know people
fantastic.
That have gone to doctors I've recommended that are – in remission, and they are living a quality of life. And
now, are you doing stand-up at this event, or are you going to be cooking the food?
It's hard. Yeah, I won't be cooking. I'm going to be nude spin art.
Oh, good.
I'm going to juggle apples, and then I was going to say something very crude.
Yeah.
I decided it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Not appropriate.
It's hard for you to censor yourself that way, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah.
Because it had to do with something scatological.
We know what spin art is, Bob.
Yeah,
you'd have to go further with that.
It's going
to
turn into a Rorschach test against the wall.
No, we get it.
Right. But what this is I often host them. I've done them for like 25 years now. And this one, Bill Bellamy, who lost his mother-in-law to scleroderma, will do the auction with me. And then Dana Carvey, who's been incredibly gracious and lives up in the Bay Area, will do a set for us. And he's amazing. He's done it like 6 times. And Counting Crows is flying in from all their different destinations to do their, you know, half-hour, 40-minute set because I've been friends with Adam a long time. Right when my sister, Gay, died of scleroderma, I met Adam Duritz at the Viper Room. And
you were out just doing some coke?
I was sad. No, but booze.
I mean, that's weird.
No, booze.
Okay, booze. All right.
No, I was way past the coke years. And what's coke years? 111? It's 3 lines lined up. It's 11-11 is coke, right? Because that looks like a good point. But the... But we just became friendly, and he was very sympathetic to the fact that we said, hey, that song touched our family because our family gets screwed over.
Yeah.
And so I've lost a couple sisters, and this is one that helps people that remind me of giving back and, you know, and trying to help some people that remember.
Wednesday, May 4th,
yes.
Palace Hotel, Montgomery Street in San Francisco. Here's the phone number to call. It's 800-441-CURE, 800-441-CURE. 441-CURE, and that's if you want information or tickets for this event with Bill Bellamy, Dana Carvey, Counting Crows. I guess you've got some Top Chef Master Chefs that are going to be catering the evening. Bob Saget, there's an auction. It sounds like a great time, Bob.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I do know. Now I do. Because you told
when we come back with Bob, we have many other things to talk to him about, including I want to talk to you about, and I don't know how much you're going to be allowed to say. I understand you were at the Hollywood Wedding of the Year recently.
Yes, I went to Alice Cooper.
It was Bob Saget and Tom Cruise and Jennifer Lopez and Brad Pitt all in one place. I want to hear about that when
we all got married to each other?
On the Kevin and Bean Show.
We were hoping you would.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on 420. This is an unlikely guest booking for us, but Ziggy Marley joins us coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ziggy Marley will be here. I know, right? Hey, Bob Saget, what's going on, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
No, don't start that.
What's going on?
Don't you also have the thing?
Yes, we're not going to get into that.
We don't have time. Can I hear it? It's my favorite thing.
Yes. I know it is, but then we get to derailed, and we don't have time to talk about the stuff we want to.
That dare not speak its name.
I go to bed saying that.
Yeah.
So, things have been very busy. I'm working on a new stand-up hour that'll be televised on something better than a Viewmaster.
Is that easy for you or hard for you? Some comedians say it's the hardest thing in the world. Others seem to come up with a new hour, it seems like, every week.
No, it's both. I mean, what I do is I write it all down, you know, and I just have it always floating, the thousand things that I'm trying to remember. So then I just try them out? I try them out, and I still got to do the best of the hits. Like, I'll go to a college tomorrow night, and then I do, I don't know, an hour and a half or something, and then got the best of the hits. What my dog did to my, you know. I don't think I can say that.
You can't say that.
But well, that's the act that dare not speak its name.
It falls in that category.
It falls way down in that category. But then I'm just born to have that as one of my hard drives in my life. And so the other stuff I'm doing is, you know, a script that I sold to a place that's on television that's we're waiting
for. Does it involve penguins?
It doesn't.
Could you be more specific?
I could put one in a drawer and hide it there, just like, where's Waldo?
You wrote a script that you're sending to a place that does things like TV.
It was like, do you have the money? Do you have the stuff? Do you have the money? Do you have the stuff? It's a place that could possibly put something somewhere. Stop it.
Too many details. Hey, Bob, I teased before the break. I had to ask you about this because the CEO of Paramount Pictures, Brad Gray, got married recently.
Yes.
And apparently it was the Hollywood star-studded event of the year.
Except I was there.
And plus Bob Saget.
Did you jump the fence or did you get invited? I tunneled under like Hogan's Heroes.
How does a guy like
Hogan's Heroes reference of the last 10 years? Thank you. Oh, come on. You guys have been around a while. You've had them before.
I don't know.
I know nothing. I see nothing.
How does a guy get invited to a party that involves, that also includes Tom Cruise and his wife Katie Holmes, Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale, Jack Nicholson, Larry David, Rudolph Giuliani, Elizabeth Shue, John Lovitz, Brad Pitt, and Bob Saget? How did that happen?
You apply body oil to them as they're getting out of their SUVs.
Oh.
And then everybody wants you in. And sweet. I say that then in the party. My story is that Brad Gray, when I was 21 years old, I met him. I was on a Comedy Store college tour touring, and he and Harvey Weinstein, I met in Buffalo, New York, and Harvey was also there, were my managers.
Oh, no.
Brad said, we want to be your manager. So I was managed from the time I was then Brad met Bernie Brillstein and became Brillstein Gray and then
and became a huge Hollywood power player. I'm surprised he still acknowledges that he knew you at one time.
Well, he's too big for you now, isn't he? He's a dear family friend.
Bob was a server at the wedding, if that's what you're asking.
I was actually chained to the stove.
Okay, but here's what I really want to know, Bob.
Beaten with Duraflame logs throughout, like Smeagol would have been when Sean Astin wanted a cookie.
Here's what I want to know, though. A guy like you, Bob. Now, Kevin and I are not celebrities. We're not famous people.
Oh, so don't say that about yourself. I've seen Kevin in the mall.
we look at somebody like you. We go, okay, Saget's in. He's famous because he knows John Stamos. That's why he's famous. So then we think, is it the same for him to go to a party like this? Like, is it no big deal for you, Bob, to be at a party and see Jack Nicholson? Or do you also geek out and try to think, ooh, I wonder if I should say hi or should I get a picture or what should I do? Do you have the same thoughts?
I've been around this thing for, like, I don't know, 30 years, right? So I still have man crushes. Believe it or not, Nicholson's one of them because he's one of those guys that's, you know, I mean, it's 420 today. So, you know,
bless Jack Nicholson.
He's as big a legend in the movies as there ever has been.
Correct. And there's a bunch of people that you have that kind of admiration for, filmmakers. You know, it's just fun to talk to. Don Rickles was there and had a great set. And I love Don, and he's a friend of mine.
Do you sit around like we would, though, and go, as soon as somebody figures out who we are, they're going to kick us out? That's it. Like,
no.
You don't do that
anymore. I don't.
Because you're in.
Yeah, I didn't even think like that, but maybe I should be on the show more, and then I'd have that attitude.
And we could bring you down. You could take away some of your level.
As long as there's movement. I don't care if it's deceleration. I'll tell you the truth.
Did you talk to Nicholson?
I did. I said hi, and he went, yeah. But it was. But I got to talk to...
Can I tell you a Nicholson story really fast?
Please.
At the, which is the award show where they have round tables and they
Golden
drink.
Globes.
Golden Globes. I snuck into the Golden Globes.
Oh. The Magic Club. The Magic Castle. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. And I walked up to Nicholson, and I was going to say hi, and he turned to me and said, yeah, could you get me a drink? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And I went and got him a drink.
He would prefer us to be ladies, and we'll be fine.
Right, back to you. I'm sorry.
And that's okay, by the way.
I was fine with
it. I pray that I can get that mojo one day. But what happened was I'm very close to the family, and they are my family. So I'm the godfather of his daughter, and I'm close. My kids are close, and it was a very lovely time for our family to be there.
Wow.
My mother was there. My mother was able to sit at the A table or whatever that would be, which means she was like an aquarium in view. She just got her eyes operated on. She's 86. She was, pardon my French, she was cockeyed. And she got got her eyes. You didn't have to hit the button on that.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Do you?
No.
And no, cockeyed, sorry. That's legitimate.
They severed the muscles.
I'm
and now
up this.
Bonkers.
Her eyes were bonkers.
The act that dares not speak its name. And they tied off her eyeballs like headlamps so they could focus. And she sat there loving staring at the people there. She was there till 1 in the morning.
Did she creep people out, though?
No.
Did she ever blink?
She's very sweet. Never blink.
Okay, well, that's a little freaky.
No, she was a wax figure.
If somebody's staring at me and never blinking, I go, what's happening?
They took her right to the Hollywood Wax Museum. When the thing was over, she didn't even move anymore. Her joints could not walk.
But that's sweet. That's a touchy.
It was really nice.
Tribute.
She stared at Jerry Weintraub all night and was attracted to him because she is a single woman for years now. And
there you
I tried to explain to him he's very busy with a wife and a girlfriend. He cannot add Dolly Sag to his resume.
Girlfriend
number
two.
How about Jennifer Lopez or Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise? You talk to any of them?
We don't
go to parties like this, Bob. This is a big deal
here,
for us.
And then I get to I give a nice hug to Mark Anthony, and we rubbed up each other like young actor men music people do when
all right.
see each other. It was a little
good.
Little climbage on there.
Okay.
I got to talk to Sting. Sting sang.
Oh, nice.
That was nice.
But what do you say to Sting? Like,
I told him not to talk to John Lovitz. And he said, oh, I should talk to John Lovitz. So it was basically a good night for John Lovitz.
Good work.
Except for the fact that he can't get any TV shows on the air. Bob Saget has a pretty cool life. I got to say that.
Well,
he's got TV shows.
You guys are both being kind.
Because he wrote the script for that guy that does that thing.
And it hasn't gone to the thing. And it will. Because, by the way, if we want to back up time, every year I've had a show. It's just sometimes, you know, the show, like the last one I had last year, Strange Days.
Yeah, you were like an investigative reporter or something.
No.
You went overseas.
Well, this is why I was so successful.
Adopted a kid or
no,
what
I did.
Happened?
I raised him, I stitched him into my quilt. It was making your kid your comforter.
Right.
It was a how to make over
one episode, and then I think they pulled it.
They ran six episodes, and then they pulled it, and then I pulled it. But the joke is, you know, if you're doing well, you'll see me on a bus. But if it's not doing well, you'll see me on a bus. So
okay,
you know,
right.
there's life being breathed into this, which I can't go into, which for some reason, because people loved it. But yeah, I always, in his high pitch, notice how my voice had to go higher in defense of my life and times. I do end up having a show that I love once a year, once every year and a half. So
okay.
I think I'm about a couple months away from, you know, explosives.
Something.
So okay. An exploding belt and a bank.
Well, Bob, I never thought I'd say this, but we're going to have to say goodbye to you because Ziggy Marley is standing by.
Well,
but I do want
the king of all media that Marley's encounters today.
I do want to hit the location again. If you'd like to see the great Bob Saget with a tremendous lineup of comedy and music and food, it's happening Wednesday, May 4th. Tickets are on sale now at the Palace Hotel, number 2, New Montgomery Street, San Francisco. You can call 800-441-CURE. And again, he is raising money for research into the Scleroderma Research Foundation.
Also give the website.
Yes, please. I couldn't say it in a million years.
SRFcure.org.
Okay. That one. Okay, that's easy.
I appreciate that.
No worries.
Bob, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you soon.
I'm going to speak very slowly.
Good.
Because you're probably stoned right now.
That's actually true, in fact. It is 420 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, give me a little Ziggy Marley. Let me hear some of five-time Grammy winner Ziggy Marley on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him and love him for his music, but did you know he is part of the creation of a new comic book that goes on sale in stores today called Marijuana Man? Does that sound like something we might be interested in finding out more about?
Sure.
Why, yes, it does. Ziggy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy 420, guys.
Happy 420 to you
as
well.
Happy 420 to you as well. Is this the first time there has ever been a pot-centric superhero? Because I know I haven't heard of one before, Marijuana Man.
Yeah, I haven't heard of one, at least not at this level of the game, you know. So, yeah, I think it's the first time we're really exposing one fully like this.
Tell me how it came about. I know you're working with some real professionals that drew the comic book, but tell me how you got involved with creating this character, Ziggy.
Well, I got involved with the character after, you know, reading a lot about, you know, hemp and the multiple uses of the plant, besides from the medicinal use, it also has industrial uses. And I was like, why the world isn't taking advantage of these natural resources? We take advantage of every other natural resources we have, like oil and nuclear and all these other things, and coal and natural gas. How come we're not using this plant? So I wanted to find a way to kind of put this plant in a new light, put this plant, represent this plant as a superhero, instead of a villain, which is most represented by the society. No, everybody thinks this thing is such a terrible thing, but it's not. It's really a great thing for the planet and for people.
Don't you get the idea that people who don't know just say, everybody's talking about hemp because they just want to be able to smoke marijuana. That's why they're talking about the other uses. They don't really care about the other uses. Don't you get the idea that's the attitude in society?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's just that how it's being portrayed, how we see it every day being portrayed over and over. It, you know, that's what gives people that idea. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having the marijuana for recreational use, just like somebody drinks a can of beer watching a game or whatever. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to expose the other uses of the plant to the people.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here. I can't believe it. And we have this conversation all the time. Ziggy Marley on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, talking about how insane it is that people are getting arrested for essentially sitting in their own house and having a, you know, smoking a bowl or a joint or whatever for their own entertainment. They're not hurting anybody. What's the downside of it? I don't understand how we're still at this point in 2011. And I hope that Marijuana Man turns out to be real, comes into this nation and kicks some ass, Ziggy.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's doing now. When you check out the graphic novel, that's definitely what's going to be happening.
Let me give out the details. Now, Ziggy, you are going to be at this signing at the Golden Apple today, right?
Yeah, I'm at the Golden Apple today in Los Angeles. It's on Melrose. I'm going to be there tonight
okay.
to sign some books.
Let me give out this information because this is an awesome event. If you're looking for something fun to do for 420, Marijuana Man in stores today. Ziggy, along with the writer and the artist from the comic book Marijuana Man, are going to be at the signing at the Golden Apple, best comic book store in L.A. at 7018 Melrose Avenue. That's Melrose at La Brea. The celebration begins at 4:20. Hard to believe. The signing is going to be from 6 until 8 o'clock. First 50 guests in line get a free poster with purchase, and it gives you a chance to meet reggae legend Ziggy Marley and get a tremendous collectible called Marijuana Man. Sounds like a lot of fun, Ziggy. Thanks for sharing it with the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Have a 420 again.
Thank you. To you, too.
I'm not sure if the complaint desk is open, Ralph, but Kevin from Marina Del Rey writes in, hey, Ralph's Ziggy Marley impression needs a little work. I thought it was a little too stereotypical. Please let him know.
See, because that was actually Ziggy.
It was Ziggy Marley, right.
Bo, 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 bo.
Where was the reggae horn? We needed the reggae horn.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking?
Omar was so angry we didn't use it.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's all I could think about during the entire interview.
Coming up, by the way, for the time of day that Ziggy Marley was coming out of a haze, I thought he sounded pretty energetic.
Yeah, he did.
Coming up next on the Kevin Beach Show, right after the top of the hour, I've been looking forward to this one for a month, ever since Ralph first tipped us off to a movie that exists called Nudist Colony of the Dead.
Colony of the Dead.
Oh, we have a great theme song?
The theme song. It's a musical.
What?
Oh, Ashes? I can't wait.
Sweet.
I can't wait.
It's a zombie nudist colony romantic comedy musical.
Another one?
Yes.
Anyway, that's Ralph's Video Vault, and we'll crack it wide open coming up next on the Kevin Beach Show. First, no time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday, I want to say it is. What's going on?
We may have to dedicate an entire week of Video Vaults to legendary filmmaker Mark Pirro.
He's the guy that made this one?
He made Nudist Colony of the Dead. He also made Curse of the Queer Wolf. That was his.
All right.
Rectuma, which is the story of a giant... 10-story ass who starts attacking a city. He really is a genius and has not gotten his due over the years since he started making movies.
All that sounds good.
And I believe he needs to be recognized, and we just might be the people to do it.
He needs to be arrested.
How dare you, sir? All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? A new Hollywood couple you may not be familiar with.
All right.
Emma Roberts, the lovely and talented actress who is the niece of Julia Roberts, daughter of Eric Roberts, in Scream 4 recently, apparently caught making out with star of Glee, Cord Overstreet.
Which one is he?
Who's he?
He's the blonde, the good-looking blonde kid who came in later in the series, took over as quarterback for the team, football team. Cord Overstreet. Apparently they were making out at Coachella. And everyone spotted him, and everyone went,
You're in trouble.
Us Magazine has the story. They were making out. They couldn't keep their hands off each other.
Yeah.
They were talking about heading back to the hotel pool, says one onlooker.
Yeah. Pool. Making out.
Thank you for whipping that out on us.
You're very welcome.
That's so hot.
Cord Overstreet. I always said his name should be Cord Overdub. If he wants a career in music, his name should be Cord Overdub. I tried to watch Glee this week.
Yeah.
I tried. Couldn't get through an entire episode.
It's horrible.
Couldn't get through an entire episode.
We used to all be on board, and then Kevin and I bailed like right at the first of the year, and I've never regretted it, because everything I hear about that show now is that it sucks.
Well, you guys left after the zombie football game, I think.
Which was the worst episode ever.
Yeah. It got better after that.
They went back
to the high school, and they started talking about competing in the regionals and everything, but it's like a remake of the first season now at this point. They're trying to get to regionals, and Sue is trying to stop them, and there's songs singing going on, and...
Omar's laughing in my headphones, so you guys know.
It's really...
He's hated it from day one.
Yeah. I can't tell whether I've changed or it's changed.
But maybe you've grown up, Rob.
There's no connection there anymore. It really has jumped the shark quicker than I think almost any TV series ever.
Well, yeah, it was burned so hot the first season. Yeah.
Anyway, Cord Overstreet.
Making out. Emma.
Go to the pool.
Pool.
Rihanna.
Yes.
Po-po-po.
Apparently has some wild taste in home accessories. A recent story says that she spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a one-of-a-kind chandelier for her living room, a dining room, rather, that features guns hanging off of it. Real guns. That doesn't sound inviting. Let's all sit down for dinner, shall we? There's a 9mm dangling over my head. I can't eat my soup.
That's how they identify seats. You sit under the 9mm.
Okay, you're the semi-automatic. You're the AK-47. Revolver.
That's great.
Sharon Osbourne has some problems. I don't know if you heard about their tax problems or not, the Osbournes have.
No.
Oh, yeah. Back taxes for not one but 2 years, apparently, they owe the IRS. Kelly's got some tax problems as well. This is what happens when you let Ozzy run the checkbook, by the way.
who's hers? Who do we have to pay? Who's hers?
There's no idea who the IRS is. Anyway, Sharon says she admits that she and her family are perhaps the most obnoxious residents of Hollywood. She said recently at a restaurant, one high-profile Hollywood couple actually asked to have their table moved because of their loud and disgusting behavior.
Sweet.
The Osbournes.
I like it.
She told this to Piers Morgan on CNN this week.
You get that's where they're going, right? I mean, they almost want that.
Rumor has it, by the way, the couple that asked to be moved was Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn. I can imagine Sean Penn doesn't have a lot of time for that nonsense. He's trying to eat a meal and Sharon's screaming and Kelly's snorting and Jack's throwing food and Ozzy's sleeping in his soup. Probably not for
Sounds
Sean.
Like a good dinner.
Probably not for Sean.
Sean Penn doesn't want anyone to have any fun ever, and that's why I was so disappointed to hear that he's not going to be in the Three Stooges movie.
Yeah. He could have had fun with that dinner if he went all Spicoli and tried to do it at the comedy. You know?
No, don't be
right,
stupid,
Kevin?
But he wouldn't do that.
Yeah!
Can I hear just a little, little Kevin asking Sean Penn about his, his comedy
Not
career?
Ever.
It is. It has to be in the top five of the greatest moments ever on this show, right? We were talking to Sean Penn, who, if I recall, had directed the Into the Wild movie. Is that right?
Yes.
And this was Kevin's line of questioning. Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or would or did consider
Here
that.
Here comes our boy.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli.
It's changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin.
No.
But I did. It
and not a word from Sean Penn. Nothing.
You can hear him seething on the other end of the phone.
How dare you.
Kevin, the interview killer. What do you think when you hear that tape back, Kevin? You still think it was the right question?
Good for me. I'm quite the broadcaster.
I'm good. No, I did never think that, first of all. But second of all, I regret a lot of stuff that I say. But... Uh-huh. For some reason, the fact that he has so no sense of humor, that was part of the reason I asked it, knowing that it would be a disaster, but I'm mad at him for not having a sense of humor.
Right. All that being said, and I can understand your motivations, didn't it feel a little forced, like you were kind of squeezing that question in a way that just
it was poorly done.
Didn't quite sort of provide an opportunity for?
Yes, I'm not standing by the delivery or the question either. But there was something in me that makes me mad that he doesn't have any sense of humor, so I just thought I'm going to say it anyway, and I showed him.
You did. You showed him as he beds Scarlett Johansson tonight that you're the better man.
By the way, please don't misunderstand. I'm delighted that you did it. I'm so happy that you did it. I would never, ever have wanted to have not happened.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
Nothing. It was perfect.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is George Takei.
I think it's Takei, but...
Takei?
I don't know.
I think it's Takei.
Yeah.
It is Takei.
Yeah. 74 years old today. He, of course... Man Cannon. Star of Man Cannon. And Star Trek, of course.
And that laugh.
74 years old. Gregory Itzen of 24 is 63. Jessica Lange turns 62. Clint Howard's 52. Crispin Glover, the actor, is 47. Carmen Electra turns 39 years old today. Joey Lawrence is 35. And Miranda Kerr is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and welcome to Showbiz.
Bing to the world famous K-Rock at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Let's do Beastie Boys.
Yeah!
Come on.
Ow.
Turn it up?
Turn it a little down. Ow. A little down on that.
Are you saying
We're all bleeding.
Damn.
Turn it up!
Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
Better.
All right.
What?
That hurt.
I can't. What?
You should have seen the look of pain on Mel's face.
I was excited
I
to bring that pain.
I can't hear you.
There's,
what?
There's blood coming out from your right ear.
All right. Regroup, everybody. Come on. We got something to do here.
All right.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Wednesday. It's been far too long since we've done this feature, but I'm very excited about the new edition of Ralph's Video Vault.
And now, welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
I've known for some time we need to take a look at the body of work created by Mr. Mark Pirro. He is a legend in the world of the ultra, ultra low budget film.
By ultra, ultra, you mean like $10 or less?
Probably, yeah.
costs more to go see the movie than it does to make it.
Started his career, of course, in 1983 with A Polish Vampire in Burbank.
Sure.
His legendary vampire film that went on to make such classics as 1988's Curse of the Queer Wolf. Colorblinded, 98, of course. Rectuma, let's not forget Rectuma, the story of the giant ass that attacks a city. But he's probably best known for his 1991 epic Nudist Colony of the Dead, which is the rare combination of horror, comedy, zombie romance musical.
And nudists.
You've seen lots of those. But
wait, did you say musical?
Yes. It's a horror comedy zombie romance musical set in a nudist colony.
Okay, I'm in.
And it is perhaps the worst film ever made.
Oh, that's some pretty tough competition.
Trust me.
It really is?
It was shot on Super 8. I don't know if that means anything to you.
Super 8.
You remember Super 8 cameras?
Sort of.
Super 8 millimeter film?
It was kind of like the camcorder of the day back then?
That's what you shot your home movies
on. Okay.
Yeah. and it was released in 1991, but was so hard to watch. Not because of the content, because it was poorly lit and poorly shot, that it really didn't do very well. And not until 2007, when they were able to sort of augment it with modern technology, was it sort of rediscovered.
Would you say this is worse or better than Deathbed, the bed that eats?
Oh, this crushes Deathbed.
How about Troll 2? Worse or better than Troll 2? Oh,
don't even talk about Troll 2.
Room?
This is the... The Room looks like...
Ankle Biter?
Schindler's List.
Okay.
Compared to
what's going on in this one?
Here's the premise. There's a nudist colony called the Sunny Buttocks Nudist Colony.
Well, that's creative.
And the religious right in this town want to close it down because they think it's the work of the devil.
Okay.
So they're throwing them off of their land.
Okay.
So the nudists, rather than just go quietly, commit mass suicide, a la Jim Jones, by drinking some poisoned Kool-Aid.
So, okay.
And so there's this table with all these girls, just topless girls, sitting around drinking Kool-Aid.
Don't drink Kool-Aid that's poisoned if you're topless.
Just an example. Just a chance to show off these giant cans.
Are they hot?
Yes.
Okay.
They are hot except for Mrs. Drupal.
The
eldest member of the nudist colony, who has boobs that look like someone stapled sausages to her chest.
Oh.
But it's all special effects. It's a young girl in like a bodysuit, and she's got these hilarious low-hanging sausage boobs.
Okay.
And old lady makeup and everything. And every time she turns to make a point when she's talking to somebody, the boobs come up and swing and hit somebody in the head.
Wow, this does sound bad.
Why didn't they just hire Gwyneth Paltrow to play that role?
So after... The nudists die. They swear before they die that they are going to come back and haunt and destroy anybody who tries to go on their land, especially any religious zealots.
Okay.
And that's what starts our film as we go into the opening theme song, the title song, Nudist Colony of the Dead.
They will kill you with all grins. Oh, are they not so dangling? They will squeeze the life from you in a pool of massive goo.
What?
Nudist Colony of the Dead.
Wow, he blew the budget on that song.
In case you missed the lyrics, they will kill you with a grin while their nuts are dangling. Are the opening lyrics to Nudist Colony of the Dead. Here's the problem. The local church decides to send a large group of young, virtuous teenagers on a religious retreat on the very land, which is now a public park where the nudist colony used to be.
They should know that.
And as soon as the religious zealots start coming towards the nudist colony, Mrs. Drupal rises from the grave, and she senses that the religious zealots are coming to her land. And here's what she says.
We cry for mom. I smell the blood of a Bible thumper.
Nope.
Yep.
That did not happen.
That just happened.
Wait.
B-5-O-Fum, I smell the blood of a Bible thumper. Now, this movie is not only filled with horrible special effects and acting and script and songs, it's also filled with some hilarious racial stereotypes. Nothing funnier. Then the Asian kid who's on the excursion with the rest of religious kids, and he sees something horrible, and he goes, "Rook!" And they say, "This is no time to talk about chess."
Oh, they don't do that.
But none more so than the Black Park Ranger, who tries to warn them that they shouldn't be camping on this land.
Okay.
He is a Black Park Ranger who leaves, when he leaves the property, hangs a note on his door, says, "I may be gone, but I's alive." I'.
Wow.
While telling his tale of what happened in the past, because these zombies have murdered others on this land.
Right.
He naturally breaks into a rap song.
Sure.
Here's our ranger.
He calls me over and then he said, "The dudes to blame be nude and dead. Say they be nudists of the past. And now they're back to kick some ass.
Now they're back to kick some ass."
Tell it, ranger.
I looked at myself and thought I was nuts. But I sees these folks with naked butts. They gray and torn and no more zealous, so we're coming back out.
No more zealous, so we're coming back out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Take Wait. That, Beastie Boys.
This was made in the 50s?
1991.
But, I looks myself.
But the kids go out anyway. They camp on the land. They go on their religious retreat on the land. They shouldn't do it.
They should listen.
And they think everything's going to be fine, because when they wake up, the first morning that they're there, the sun is bright and shiny. It's a beautiful day. In fact, it's an inky-dinky-doo-dah morning, as we learned from this song.
Look at the sky, look at this world, look at the boys, look at the girls.
Sneaky dinky doo dah morning.
Morning.
sweet. Why, I could even smell your feet. It's dingy-dingy-doo-dah morning.
This is done on PBS for kids? No, what is this?
This is the musical, Nudist Colony of the Dead. Well, things start to go wrong when the zombies start to attack.
That can happen.
And our hero, Art, is busily trying to pack up his belongings to get off the land, and he thinks he's talking to his buddy Gus, who's behind him, has his hand on his shoulder.
Right.
What do you think he turns around when he sees whose hand it is on his shoulder?
Not Gus.
Nudist zombie.
Oh, no.
Nudist zombie that cuts off his arms, by the way. And here's that horrific scene. Here's Art's reaction.
Hey, you're not Gus. You're naked.
Your history.
You know what this is going to do to my tennis game?
See
what happens when his arms are cut off?
The guy plays tennis.
Can't play with no arms.
He's not going to be able to play tennis.
No.
Well, the murders continue as the zombies attack these poor religious right-wing kids who are just trying to have their Bible camp there on the land. And finally, the entire zombie crew breaks out into a group song.
All right.
About killing all the zealots.
Okay.
Please enjoy.
Good start.
We kill you all.
Sweet.
No one survives. Oh, well, one girl actually survives. She gets the chance to go back to camp, and she finds out that the Reverend knew all along what was going on in that camp and kept sending those kids to their death anyway. So,
wow.
It's a cautionary tale, really, about maybe questioning authority before you go off.
So you learned a very important lesson.
I did. I said, don't go camping where nudists have killed themselves on government property and were buried there.
Important lesson to learn in today's Video Vault.
Close it up.
Guys, we all know Kevin and Bean listener DeJuan, right? Big fan of the show.
No, I'm not familiar.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? That guy, you know,
sure,
DeJuan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's his email.
I'd like to
good
hear
morning.
Your impression again, if you don't mind.
Good morning, guys, and happy 420! Exclamation point! Remember, guys, don't smoke weed, DeJuan. Now, is he missing the point of the holiday?
He told us that last. What was it last year? Was it 420 or was it?
Yeah,
St.
I think
Patrick's
he was. Day? I think he was upset. He's upset about any holiday where people drink or smoke or have fun. But it's just why wish someone a happy 420 if you're then going to follow it with don't smoke weed? It's like saying, hey, Merry Christmas, but remember Jesus isn't real.
Yeah, no gifts.
Right. What's the point of that?
Because you don't have to change your consciousness just to enjoy this pure holiday of 420,
but
man.
Then, boom. I was going to say, then why do you enjoy 420? That's the only reason.
Because it's a magical day in and of itself. It's Hitler's birthday.
Well, there is that.
There is that. Yeah. All right, time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
So what we're saying is, if you don't smoke up, celebrate Hitler's birthday. That's what we're saying. Right? Right?
I don't think we're saying that at all.
No?
No.
I may be confused.
Yeah.
Oh, showbiz. How we love you. Britney Spears, however, wants to spend more time being a real person.
What does that mean?
She was sitting in the stands for her kid's Little League game the other day. And then she headed to her local Target to stock up on giant packages of toilet paper. Photographers have photos of her doing both these things. And she said she's trying to get more in touch with everyday life. Stop. Playing that. Take that, erase that right now. I'll wait.
He'll never stop playing.
I'll wait
that's
until laughing. You erase it.
I would have erased
there's
it by
no
now.
No way
you
to identify
it.
That as Britney Spears. It just sounds, you know, it sounds like that cartoon dog Muttley on the old cartoon.
I'm telling you, it's her. You can recognize that it's her, Ralph.
We don't need Britney Spears doing mundane, everyday things.
No, we got that.
We
got that covered.
To learn how to dance again.
Yeah.
Instead of moving around like a hungover stripper.
Mundane things
kind
suck
of throwing
ass.
Throwing arms around and everything.
That's what we know.
Less toilet paper buying, more choreography. That's what we're saying. You got people
this
that can
retarded.
Do that choreo.
Yeah. Maybe a little weight loss.
Other dancing news. Kirstie Alley did an amazing job on Dancing with the Stars this week. But she didn't do it alone. Apparently, she got some help from an old friend, her Scientology buddy, John Travolta. He stepped in and gave her some advice, and apparently it paid off because she lives to dance another day. Whereas Petra Nemkova, tsunami model Petra Nemkova,
not a tsunami.
She did. She used to have a job modeling tsunamis.
No.
Palm tree model. She was a palm tree model.
That's a horrible, horrible thing
she
to say.
She got booted off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't care. Not watching.
She may be my favorite supermodel ever, by the way. Petra Demkova.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think
I really
do.
I love her.
She's even in my
so
top
much.
Five.
God,
yeah,
I love
that's
her.
That's a bizarre choice.
Yeah. I mean, she's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah. And
number one supermodel.
So, I think so. And just so nice. I mean, as a total package. She just seems like just a genuinely awesome person.
She's got a package? Is that why you like her so much?
Yeah.
She's got a package?
Gene likes that.
Yeah. Give me some she-man love.
I don't watch the show, but I don't get how she could possibly be worse than some of those other people that I saw when I was watching it for Mike.
Justin Timberlake. I will turn this car around right now. We don't have to go to Dairy Queen. I will take you back home.
Oh, come on.
Justin Timberlake.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Take three.
Justin Timberlake
is in a panic.
Mine.
Losing his hair.
Ooh.
Ha ha! There is.
Suck it, JT!
There is one thing wrong with him, thank God.
But finally, I'm all for it. I hope he grows a third eye, too. I hope he loses an arm, anything. Stop being so damn perfect with your acting skills and your dancing and your singing and your success.
He makes it all look super easy. And
yes.
That's even more annoying.
And we all know it's not. He is in real fear of losing his hair, say friends. Friends who told In Touch Weekly.
Yeah. Friends.
He's taking matters into his own hands. He's got a special hair growth shampoo he's been using. I didn't know there was such a thing, by the way. I don't think there's any shampoo that really will help you grow hair.
Yes.
I think there are a lot that clean.
Yeah.
That's the case.
And he's taken to shaving his head so no one will notice that his hair is thinning, which a lot of fellas do. A lot of fellas go for that.
It's a smart move, too, right?
Yeah.
Shaves his head.
Yeah. Huh.
He needs to go to Elton John's doctor. I mean, it's probably too soon for him now, but Elton John got, I mean, after years of bad toupees, finally got the right guy to give him a great head of hair.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's got plugs or whatever he did, but it really did turn out remarkable for him after a lot of bad toupees.
Mm-hmm.
Mug, what toupee did you use? Who did you go to for your toupee?
They were called a little off the top.
Not too bad, Mug.
Not bad.
I guarantee you that Ralph Bean and I, all three of us, were thinking this
nope.
is a disaster.
He's got nothing. He's going to have nothing. And he came up with that, a little off the top.
How about that?
Well done.
Mug, by the way, is a full head of hair, ladies. I didn't mean to lead you astray. It's just a little joke there.
Just looks like a toupee. It's really
good. It's not good hair. No, it's not good hair.
Today's celebrity birthdays, George Takei. Oh my.
That guy's the best.
He is the best. He's 74 years old today. Did you see the thing that was on the internet about him auditioning to play Spider-Man and Spider-Man turned off the dark?
No.
It's like him suspended by the wires in a Spider-Man costume. He's like, I'd like to play Spider-Man in the new musical. It's very funny.
I'd be in.
And he was Heroes' dad on Heroes, is that right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he was awesome in that.
Gregory Itzen from 24 is 63 years old today. Jessica Lange turned 62. Clint Howard, brother of Ron Howard, seen in all of his movies, 52 years old. Crispin Glover, 47. Carmen Electra turns 39 years old. Joey Lawrence of Blossom. No, he wasn't in Blossom. Was he in Blossom? Yeah, he was Blossom's sister, right? Brother, right? 35 years old. And Miranda Kerr celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Dr. Drew on the show, as it is Thursday. Apparently, he's on TV.
What?
Oddly enough.
Oh, he's got a show now? Wow.
Yeah, I've talked to him about that. We're talking to Tim Walker. You may not recognize the name.
He's a Texas Ranger. Remember him.
But he's the one of the people that's behind the Grilled Cheese Invitational.
Yay! Is it that time of year again already for
it
the
is.
Invitational?
It is.
Oh, they make
me look at me like that for.
We're going to talk to him?
We're on the phone.
Every year we talk to him, Ralph.
Yeah, I've never really understood why you talk to him.
Because he makes bitchin' grilled cheese sandwiches, that's why.
Right, so I would go to his restaurant if he had one. But I don't know if a radio interview may be the
we used to have
best
him come
use
in
his time.
And make us grilled cheese sandwiches because they were great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not positive about the phone thing either. But
okay. I like to stay current, and I like to know what's new in the last year in the world of competitive grilled cheese. That's what
saying?
I want to hear about.
You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
Yeah, you're right.
Let's cancel the guy.
And he's a good let's dude, too. Have fun every time we talk
Bruce
to him.
Bruce Alex, we're going to need to cancel that guy.
How dare you?
We've got your tickets, Big Four. We have Adam Carolla on the program.
Yeah.
This week, Rage. And we have Dave Gahan. Wow. Tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. That's impressive, right?
That guy from that band, right?
He's talking about grilled cheese sandwiches?
Maybe. I don't know. We don't know how it'll go. Maybe we'll bring that up with him, and that'll go really well. Dave Gahan, tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean.